The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that?
Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drivey!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Finally, training camp is here. It starts today, although it may have kind of a bumpy start. Weather is forecast here, and it's not good weather. I guess there's going to be some rain, maybe some lightning and some thunder. The timing is the question. Practice starts at 1:30 today, goes until 4, and we'll see if any of that weather interferes with the plans of Bill Belichick and his team. But we'll talk about all that. Guys are all here. Andy's here. Eric's here. Paul's here. The intern's here. Kevin's in the booth. And where's Pepe? Is he not here?
Is he holding out?
He might
be
holding
out. Our first training camp holdout?
Might be holding out.
I don't think he's into
it. We put him on the did not report list.
Okay. But we're here from 11 to 1 today, and of course, if you're used to us being on at 12, the reason being the Patriots
You're not
practice,
listening right now.
No, I said if you could still be used to us being on at 12 and be listening now.
Oh, boy. The arguments have begun. We're already sick of each other. It's training camp.
I just want to ask, what's the common denominator?
Andy.
What is the common denominator to all of the nonsense?
Right.
Andy, when you were having an argument with nobody right before we went on the air, it was just you.
But at least I kept it to myself.
No, we had to listen.
I don't have to, you know, let the listeners in on it.
Anyway, throughout training camp, we'll be going on from 11 to 1 because the practice starts at 1:30. And Bill Belichick's press conference is around 1 o'clock. So in order to be able to cover everything.
Around is the key phrase.
Yeah, we're moving our shows from 11 to 1 until further notice. Right?
Right.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And guys, what's on your minds today? What are you thinking about as you head into your first official Patriots practice?
I want to know if and when Brian Waters shows up.
You're going to ask Bill about it?
No, I'm not going to ask him anything,
Bill,
for the entire
if or when
season.
Will
refreshing,
Brian Waters.
Refreshing honesty from Eric Scott.
I'm talking about the players that are here. Brian was placed on reserve.
I'll tell you. As I told the guys this morning, this is how it's going to play out. I'll give him a 50-50 chance that he mentions Brian Waters' name in the beginning. Just to get that out of the way.
I think that percentage is higher than 50-50.
Well, okay, but because he has done that the last few kind of press conferences of this nature. And then somebody will wait about 8 or 9 questions into the press conference before revisiting the topic.
Getting back to Waters.
It'll be almost apologetic in fashion.
I don't know. Ian Rappaport's not on the beat anymore. These questions may not get asked.
Yeah. And then when it's asked,
you're right, Andy. You're going to get me involved in a media bashing session.
someone will phrase it as, you know, Brian Waters isn't here, and you know, he said to ask the Patriots about it. He didn't want to comment, and Bill will say, "We're only going to talk about the players who are here." That'll be the end of the Brian Waters discussion, because no one will have the stones to ask a follow up question.
But when a player,
except maybe Tom Curran, might be in a mood.
That's true.
When a player who would be slated as a starter isn't here, do you? You know, move on without him, or do you kind of, in your mind, keep that spot open for him?
think it really depends on what Bill Belichick knows that we don't, which is obviously the whole story.
Right.
You know, we don't know why he's not here. Yeah. Bill does.
Right.
You know, if it's...
If it's injury related, then I think you try to move on without him and then hope that he comes back. If it's, you know, a money grab, then I think you try to just...
I think you plan on probably having him there because you control it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I think you just move on without him.
Well,
and then knowing in the back of your mind you have an insurance policy.
That's what I mean. In the immediate, you move on without him.
Just
that's why I understand why he says we're only going to talk about the guys who are here, because today's business has nothing to do with September 9th. Today's business has to do with July 26th only in Bill's mind. That's what I think separates him from a lot of other guys, is he's able to take the here and now and make it the only focus. How many times do we hear the players, our goal is to have a good practice today? They don't talk about our goal is to be ready for September 9th. That's part of it, and that's certainly where they're going to lead up to. That's
except what Devin McCourty, you tweeted. First step towards New Orleans or whatever. The other
So, I mean, clearly the idea of training camp is to get yourself prepared for the regular season, and Bill will say that. But what I think that their actions do every day in training camp, and it's striking watching Bill operate, is getting every day is the most important thing.
Sure.
Whatever a lot of the coaches say, win the day.
Build on what you learned yesterday.
That's great. Whatever they have to do, whatever is on the agenda today, implement, you know, third down, you know, defensively have, you know, the sub pet, whatever it is that day is the only thing that's of the utmost importance. And that's how they operate.
And that's why I think there's a chance Waters isn't on the team, because
there is a chance that he's not on the team.
They go to camp, they go to some preseason games, and Mankins gets healthy. And Gallery's playing,
Andy,
and Conley's playing.
Though.
Yeah, I did my 53-man roster this morning, and Paul made me put Waters on.
I said, I think he's going to
be on. I wasn't going to put him on it. But I think there's a chance they see what they have, and they say, we have enough.
Yeah.
They're not all Pro Bowlers, but they're enough. We don't need to bend over backwards or whatever to get Brian Waters on this team.
But long-term, Bill knows, well, if it's a money grab, let's say he's slated to make $1.4 million. Maybe he wants more. Well, Bill controls that, or, you know, Mr. Kraft control that,
you
know.
Addition.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, he's part of that. He's the decision making process, and then ultimately, Mr. Kraft has to sign off on it. But he knows, well, Mr. Kraft is not going to give this guy a dime more than $1.4 million. I have to move on. Or he knows, well, how much more is he looking for? Well, we could probably find a middle. We could probably get there. And he knows September 9th, I could probably rely on this guy. Don't forget, no training camp last year. It comes in a week before the start of the season. And played 16 games at an extremely high level. So they know he can do that.
Right.
So it's
maybe
not really.
Bill did leave the door open. When was that press conference? Minicamp or whatever? And he said,
with
a player of this age, you are never really sure what that next year is until you see it.
That's
so he did leave the door open of, he could just get old. I mean, just because he came last minute last year and was a Pro Bowler doesn't mean he's going to come last minute this year and be great.
Right. And, you know. How much better is he than, you know, with Dan Connolly?
Right.
You know,
who you're paying.
Right.
More than him.
Yeah, I mean, you could have Mankins, Copen, Connolly as your starting interior line. There's nothing wrong with that.
Matter of fact,
isn't that exactly what it was 2 years ago when they went 14-2 and had the number one seed?
For the most part, yeah.
Right, because Stephen Neal got hurt late in the year after Mankins held out.
Yep.
And they just flip-flop Connolly from left guard to right guard halfway through the season. So that's basically what you had 2 years ago when you went 14-2.
So Eric's worried about people who aren't here. What are you guys worried
about? Worried about or
not worried about? What's on your mind?
Well,
what's on
your mind? One disappointing thing about today is it's not going to be in pads. So you're not going to get, you know, Chandler Jones beating Nate Solder in a one-on-one drill. You know, you're not going to get that.
It's an extension of what we already saw in OTAs.
Right. So it's going to kind of be, okay, yeah, you know, Shane Vereen just caught a nice screen pass and made a nice cut or what have you. We need to get into the pads before you can really get excited about some of that stuff. But the young guys are what I'm excited about.
I mean, if you were to tell a young journalist who's covering the team for the first time.
Like Darren.
Like me.
Like Darren. This is what we need you to watch today. What is it? Is it how he's using his defensive people, the group?
Well, that's the theme of camp, so sure.
Yeah, you think so?
I think everybody's going to be
that
watching
could be,
that.
That could be a good thing, yeah. To me, it's all defense. You ask me what I'm excited about, defense in every aspect. The veteran free agents that they've signed, the rookies that they drafted, guys like Devin McCourty, you know, which direction are we going to go here? Rasai Dowling, all aspects of defense. I know what they have on offense. I'd be stunned. Andy made a point. We did a little camp podcast yesterday. If there's a major storyline in offense, it's probably not going to be a good one. Because you know Gronkowski and Hernandez and Welker. You have a pretty good idea about Tom Brady.
Would you consider Shane Vereen getting most of the carries ahead of Ridley a major storyline?
Not really.
No. There's competition there.
There's competition. You had said that before we started our show that you thought running back. I think that was your answer on that question, and I think you're right. I think that's a very competitive position, running back. So I don't. I think Andy's point was, if there's a major storyline, that means something bad happened to somebody.
Somebody got hurt, or something blew up, or whatever.
Although I am on offense, I'm still intrigued to see if Brandon Lloyd continues the impressive play that he had during the spring.
Yeah, and I have no doubt he's going to look just as good in these camp practices as he did in the spring. But we won't know until
the
game time how McDaniels is actually going to use him in a game.
Or reads he makes. The same old problem they all have. You got to be exactly where Brady wants you, not just in practice, but in games.
That's the thing, because last year at this time, we were all excited to see Ocho Cinco when he joined.
Right.
And you could tell from the get-go.
They wouldn't let him talk.
No, but every day we saw him.
We need to talk about that, by the way.
Yes, but this is a good point that I was going to make. It wasn't a surprise when we saw him in the game.
No.
Every day that we saw him, we were like, man, Ocho dropped another wide-open pass.
Yeah.
It got to the point where by the end of the preseason, we knew what to expect from Ocho. And unfortunately, he fulfilled it throughout the year.
Right.
Even more so than the drops was the Brady with the palms in the air.
Yeah, with the,
what are
come
you doing?
On.
Or
yeah.
the branch. No, this way.
So, Lloyd had a great start in the spring. Obviously something Ocho didn't have, but nonetheless, Lloyd had a great start. I want to see him continue to do that. I want to see if he's as impressive against live competition against going full speed against the defense.
And again, going back to Josh McDaniels returning as offensive coordinator, the fact that he'd been with him in two places and brought him here kind of tells you that he figures he can pick up this offense, because he knows what this offense is. He knows what Tom Brady expects, and he knows Brandon Lloyd. So those three things kind of tell you, okay, he's probably not going to have the same problem. He might have other problems, but he won't have the problems Ocho Cinco had.
Yeah, that's the guy that drafted Tim Tebow to be a quarterback in the first round.
Well,
love you, Josh.
To me, this is going to be all about.
That was a
cheap shot. Yes, it was.
But it's true. If we're going to talk about his personnel record, the guy has some personnel issues on
his
record.
But this is all about, to me, with Lloyd in particular, it's all about how he meshes with Brady. It's the rapport that he and Brady have, because we know he fits in the offense. He did. In two different teams, he ran Josh's offense, which is Bill's offense, the Patriots offense. And he had no problems with it.
I don't want to get into a big discussion on Josh McDaniels back in Denver, but he came in on the wrong foot with Jay Cutler and that whole thing, and getting into a pissing match with him right from the start. And I think he was out to almost show the organization something by drafting Tebow. I think it wasn't it may not have been a mature move, but that's kind of what got McDaniels into trouble in the first place.
And I don't know that he drafted him.
A lot of people talk about that.
It could have been, right.
A lot of people talk about that he wasn't as in charge as everybody thinks in terms of personnel decisions.
But the quarterback situation in Denver was crazy.
He didn't only have problems with the quarterback.
I know.
He had problems.
Yeah.
He had some problems leading.
But
let's put it that way.
I think Eric's Lloyd thing is good for today, because the passing game is what you see in these practices with no contact, no pads.
The fluidity
of
it.
So you can see some of that early. You can see how the DBs are being used early. You're going to have to wait a little bit to see some of the other stuff.
If Brady completes a pass and gives that guy a fist pump at the end of the play, he's feeling good.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
He yells and swears.
That's
not good.
Andy just made a tacit point there about there not being pads or anything.
Is that a good one?
Tacit?
That's better than flaccid, right?
It's always on his
mind. It really is.
It's always on his mind.
Okay, get back to my test.
No, but your point being that, a lot of people are, training camp is here, it started, but they might not necessarily be in pads.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a want. They're not going to be in
2 days.
Yeah. So want.
First couple of days.
And that is the part of the new CBA.
Between that and the thunderstorms.
Yeah.
First 2 days, today and tomorrow, they will not be in pads.
I wonder if, and I know it's kind of a trivial point, but will they even have numbers on their shirts?
Will they have
numbers? I am prepared for them to not
like
in the
spring.
Are they going to go bare chest?
No, in the spring.
Not so trivial for some of us.
Always on.
It's always on your mind, too. Yeah.
Well, will they have numbers? Because they didn't in the spring,
right?
And I'm sure that
they have numbers on their shorts.
I know marketing doesn't run football, but I'm sure that there's pressure from marketing to say, look, we're going to have thousands of people here. Be nice if they knew who was out there.
And Bill told me to ask somebody in marketing when I asked about jerseys.
That's
and we asked marketing. They said, "What are you talking about?"
When you originally said it, I thought that they probably wouldn't, because I, you know, like walkthroughs. They don't always have their uniforms on and walkthroughs. Remember last year all the walkthroughs that we had because you couldn't have the double sessions twice in pads, so one of them was, we had to sit through a lot of those, and they never had numbers on.
Right.
So that's what I thought, but you might be right with your pressure from external forces here, putting some practice jerseys on. We'll see.
Yep.
Find out in a few hours.
So, Freddie, you're stunned Joseph Addai got cut.
No, I'm not stunned.
Well, you had him as a very competitive position. You had him in the mix.
I said in parentheses, he's healthy. And obviously, if you want to equate healthy to not passing your conditioning test, he's not.
Well, I just
or
think,
wasn't.
A, he wasn't going to have much of a role. He was going to be a bit player. But B, if he's your veteran presence, it's not a good sign when your veteran presence fails the conditioning.
Right.
That's why
I think that's why they said, we're not waiting for you.
Beyond all the other stuff, beyond that he hasn't been good in 5 years, beyond the fact that he has injury issues.
Does this open the door for Kevin Falk?
Falk thinks so based on some of the tweets he was going back and forth last night.
I was talking to somebody last night and I said, well, you know, this might mean they might bring back Kevin Falk. They said, really? He's better than a Joseph Addai that can't pass the conditioning test.
Really?
I don't know. I do think so. Yeah.
I don't know that he is.
Yeah, listen, if that's why Addai is not here, it's just a conditioning run.
I don't know that. I'm
it was reported.
That out
it,
we
it was
always
reported.
Speculate.
I just wanted to clarify it for the listeners because I think the same exact thing that you did, Andy, and I talked about it immediately yesterday. And then shortly after we were talking about it, we found out through reports that he failed the physical. Generally, a failed physical means he either couldn't take the conditioning run for some physical reason, or he took the conditioning run
and
didn't pass it. That's
right.
What Bill deems you not.
That's
being,
part of your physical.
When you, yes, you're not physically able to get on the field to practice if you can't do that conditioning run.
Right.
It's one and the same.
Yep.
So, my guess is that just because he didn't pass the conditioning run didn't mean he wouldn't be prepared to.
But either
help
way,
a team this year.
Either way, they said, you're not that good where we're going to wait and hold a roster.
But it's still weird.
Absolutely.
I mean, to sign a guy in May and cut him in before camp in July,
it's a guy with an injury history who starts off immediately on day one not quite physically ready to perform. So he's probably going to be your fourth running back. Why, what's in it for the Patriots? What's in it for Belichick?
Or they're going to sign Ryan Grant.
Or they'll sign somebody else. Well, that's the question. The question is, and I think, you kind of intimated, you didn't see the big upside signing him in the first place.
No, he hates Addai.
See,
I do not hate
Addai. I feel that they do need...
I do not hate Addai.
You know, they do need that...
Sam, I am.
Whether it's Sammy Morris or Kevin Falk or who... They do need that veteran presence.
Why?
I just feel like with, if you're completely putting all your eggs in Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen's basket, that's risky.
And if they fail, you sign Sammy Morris on October 3rd.
Because of their age?
Well, okay, but
that's... But because of their age, you think it's risky?
Experience, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't have any problem with that. I understand your point.
Yeah.
I do understand your
point. And this is a question I'll throw out there. Do they need a veteran presence in the running back core?
No.
You don't feel they do? Okay.
And not unless they can get an upgrade.
If they can get
a veteran, is a little overrated.
Danny Woodhead is...
I mean, Joseph Addai is a veteran who sucks. Hurt, who hasn't been good in 5 years. Woohoo, he's a veteran.
John Lynch
was a veteran safety we brought in. He fell over his own 2 feet.
Well, he could... He was...
Big Cat Williams was a
veteran
tackle.
That's what I'm saying.
He
if you can get a veteran that is an upgrade, then I would do it.
Right.
But if you can't get an upgrade, and I don't think Kevin Falk is an upgrade. I don't think Joseph Addai is an upgrade. I don't think Ryan Grant is an upgrade, and he does.
He hates Ryan Grant.
No, what do you mean?
I think Ryan Grant equals Joseph Addai. I think they're average. I think he's just an average guy, really, just kind of a jag.
What do they do then?
I don't look at it as an upgrade. I look at it as an insurance
If they wanted to upgrade,
I think
they
exactly
do?
What Andy says. You go in with what you have, and if you need someone, you call up Kevin Falk or you call up Sammy Morris.
And they've done it a million
times
over the years.
Who's going to be available? They're not going anywhere.
Okay.
That's how we found Heath Evans. That's how we found Mike Cloud. That's how we found...
I'm just trying to gauge your...
When you have the best passing attack in football, it's easy to find complimentary
running backs. I'm just trying to gauge how important you think having... A veteran that you can rely on, not to, be a game breaker, but just to rely on.
Well,
in
I
a
think
pinch.
Shane Vereen can fall down for 2 yards like Joseph Addai could.
This might be good news for our guy Eric Catani.
Okay.
Or Spencer Larson.
Brandon Bolden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of guys.
All right.
Or it could be good news for the faith they have in Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen.
And we keep talking about
that too.
We keep talking about, the addition of Shianko. Whatever you pronounce his name, that's close enough for me. But they have him, and if Daniel Fells is not dead, you know, at some point he comes back onto this team, and you have the four tight ends. Does that free you up to use Aaron Hernandez all those different ways that you did last year?
God, I hope not.
I'm beginning to lose faith in Daniel Fells.
Well, that's
I think he's hurt. I think that's why they're
getting. But they signed him to a 3-year deal.
If Daniel Fells and no one sees it, is he really hurt?
No, but I heard on the radio, you know, when the Schenko deal was announced, people on the radio, oh, the Patriots have all these plans for.
Did you hear the guy that wants to use
tight end?
He wants to use Gronkowski and Hernandez split out wide,
right,
with Schenko and Fells inside, right, creating matchup.
And I looked at it.
There's no wide receivers on the field.
I looked at it less as this master plan for tight ends, as they were losing faith that Fells would be available.
Right. Well, that's how we
viewed it. And they didn't want to go into the season with just two healthy tight ends.
Mm. PFW curse strikes again.
You know?
Seriously, go down that
That's
list.
What I looked at this deal as. It's not just this you know, master plan. It's just we need a guy.
If I were Gerard Mayo, I'd be calling Lloyds of London getting some extra insurance.
And do you agree with me?
Yes, I do. I agree with you. Yes, yes.
There's nothing more to the Schenko signing than that, really.
No, I agree.
I think Fells is dead. We haven't seen him, and they've been trying out veteran tight ends ever since.
And I should point
and
out,
there was a misreport, I think, from Florio that
it might have. No, Florio screwed something up. He never gets anything wrong.
He's fine. We like Florio, but
I
think he had it as Schenko was getting 400 guaranteed and 800 incentives. It has to be the other way around because a veteran can't make less than 800 grand.
No,
right?
He has incentives that lift it to two. He has like an $800,000 salary, $400,000 signing bonus, and $800 in incentives on playing time, 45 to 65.
So $1.2 million base salary, $400,000 of which is guaranteed.
Gotcha, okay.
With $800,000 in addition. I read it wrong the first time I saw
on
it.
On Florio?
No.
Yeah, because Florio probably wrote it wrong. He does that a lot.
No, but Mike wrote it correctly. Mike Reese on ESPN Boston wrote it correctly. I missed one word that he had put in there.
You know, he wrote it wrong when he wrote Terry Bradshaw is dead.
You're just a bad person.
You're unbelievable.
This is
he should have said is not.
This is why they hate you, and unfortunately for us, sometimes this is why they hate us.
Webb Brady,
he's all smiling.
Happy, you know what
proud.
To say?
He's got nothing. Right.
There's nothing he could
say. My work here is done.
There's no remorse there.
No.
There was no counter argument. It was an absolute fact, you know?
Wait, did you get your chance to yell at Chad Ochocinco?
No.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the reports are now, or he said, that the reason why he didn't succeed here in New England is because they stifled his personality and he couldn't be who he was. And I mean,
he even went so far.
It was unbelievable.
But there was another quote in there where he went so far as to say they knew what I did well and didn't have me do that or something to that effect. Yeah. I mean, I just think it is what it is. He's a guy who's just scrambling, reaching, because he's at that point in his career where he's not great anymore. He's not even good anymore, and he doesn't know how to handle it. So you got to make excuses, reasons why.
Yeah,
how about you're just not good anymore?
And if he falls flat in Miami, then that's got to be the follow-up.
I would have personally gone with, you know, it just didn't work out. I got there late. I admittedly struggled to pick up the offense without an off season. And, you know, it just kind of, once it got ahead of me, I couldn't catch up, and everybody else was
snowballed.
I'm just saying
that. And that could be true, or at least it's believable, and you're not throwing anybody. Now you're blaming them
because stifling your personality has nothing to do with when you're running routes against air and the ball hits you in the hands and falls to the ground. That has nothing to do with stifling your personality.
Or as simple as left or right, Chad. Which way you go?
I'm sticking with my analysis of this guy, that he's a great athlete and a great, you know, wide receiver, but not good at following directions. So in Cincinnati, he had a few basic routes. If he missed one, he knew he was going to get another shot. Here, he was asked to do specific things, and he knew if he messed up, he probably wouldn't get another chance until next Sunday. And that was just too much for him.
And he knew what he was getting into with the whole personality thing.
Yeah.
He knew Bill.
He wanted to come here.
Right, I know.
In heaven.
I have a little bit of a different take, too. Everything you guys said is 1,000% accurate, obviously. I mean, the guy was a disaster. And you can't put, you know, personality on lack of being able to pick up what you're supposed to do, knowing your assignments. But I don't know. Listen, I know how the Patriots operate, and I know how Bill operates. But I don't think that they necessarily squashed his entire personality. I think that was something, as Eric sort of alluded to, he came here and was willing to do. He embraced it. I'm going to heaven. I feel like I'm in heaven. I don't. Right. I mean, listen. I don't know what happened behind closed doors. Maybe Bill said, "Listen, you will not talk at all. Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe that's what he did. But he certainly didn't stop tweeting.
Right.
He didn't stop his nonsense in you know, away from the field in terms of, you know, his car that he was always in. He was always getting lost. He's interacting with his fans.
Yeah. Looking for a place to live.
Talking about his now wife, Evelyn, all the time. I mean, constantly. Right. He was never away from the social media.
But I think he's talking about trash talking because he said it always forced him to back it up. But I actually think if they told him not to, they saved him because it would have been even more embarrassing when he said,
trash,
I'm
going to
have 1,500 yards. It's going to be moss-like.
But
this,
do you think
and then you suck.
And it's possible. It may have been. But do you think that the Patriots said, listen, I don't care if you talk. I don't. You go on, do your Twitter thing, and Bill, you know, makes fun of Twitter. You know, go do your Twitter thing and do all that stuff. Just don't be calling out the other team. Maybe he said that. Now, that's possible.
And don't make any predictions. We know Bill's not big on predictions.
Yeah.
Remember when Moss and Welker got a little talking to because they were talking about 08 was going to be better than 07 or whatever in the spring and the summer? Bill doesn't like that kind of stuff either. And Ocho Cinco's made kind of a reputation on that. You know, the Pepto-Bismol and what I'm going to do to you this week and this and that. I don't buy it. And I think they saved him from himself. I feel bad for him. I think he is a soul who is... I mean, Terrell Owens, probably the same case. They search. Once they're not the diva, what are they?
Right.
They're nothing.
Right. And again, in Cincinnati,
in their minds,
he could afford to screw up a play because he knew he was still the focal point on the next play. And he didn't have to worry about that. And I think he's a guy that can't afford to worry about things like that. You know, he's a very just go out and catch the ball type of guy. And he's got the skills to be able to do that. But...
Well, maybe.
That's not what we want on this team.
He didn't catch the ball all that well either.
See, I'm not sure. I think.
But again, we didn't see every Cincinnati Bengal game. You know, the rarely.
No, he had drops.
He had drops there
too. No question. Everybody has drops.
Yeah,
but he was.
But he put up numbers in Cincinnati.
Oh, and he. I think he would have here if Brady kept going at him.
I'm not sure he would have.
See, I don't know. I don't think he would have.
He caught a perfect pass and found a way to step out of bounds where you needed to be a contortionist.
Five years ago, I think he would have. Put up numbers here, even if he didn't have a great knowledge of the system. He would have found his talent would have shined through.
I think he's just slipping.
I think it's both a mental and physical slip that has caused him to be an afterthought on a good
to be
team
ashamed
like the Patriots.
He's treating it like not at all.
But for him, it is. Because
he's created this image, and he's this celebrity.
He's human.
He doesn't want to just be human.
He wants to be... the star, the 3.5 million Twitter followers. I mean, think about it. He just married a reality TV star. Like, there's probably a little piece of him that says, she's going to ditch me. I suck now. I'm nobody. She's going to move on to the next.
Well, remember when he used to talk about last year how she used to make fun of him and hold out on him, so to speak, euphemism, because until he got a touchdown. Remember? You know, and he had one touchdown.
Yep.
So he had an Eric like dry spell.
I'm here to set him up.
You're bad pitcher, Paul.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Oh, one last thing, courtesy of Darren Revelle, not Darren Hartwell.
No.
There were reports that Gronkowski was working to do Gronk TV. Working with one of those like William Morris or
William Morris Agency is a
William
huge.
Morris.
That's an entertainment.
Yes, that's,
huge.
That's the
agency.
One.
One of the biggest
TV book deals. And Rosenhaus at least is claiming that's not true. But Rosenhaus claimed that
a reality
Chad
TV
Johnson
show
wasn't getting cut.
Which Jerry Callahan was funny today. He said that would have to be on like Cinemax because he never has clothes on.
Right.
It would probably be good. The brothers, the girls, the parties. I'd watch it.
You'd watch anything.
I'm going to be consistent here.
The Glass House, I watched 5 minutes. It was terrible. I turned it off.
I'm going to be consistent here and hope that he does not do a reality TV show.
He will certainly not do one in the season.
Oh, yeah. No.
At all. I hope he doesn't do
it. I don't
care. You can't control him in the offseason.
So you're going to start ripping
it.
I don't care if he does
or
not.
If you want to do guest appearances, if you want to do a book...
can you imagine that book?
But a reality TV
what's
show.
What's going to do a book on all this?
A lot of big pictures.
A reality TV show is
probably awesome.
What's the font that you used to use for your papers in
college? Like Courier New or something. Gives you like
double
spreads space. It out, adds 2 pages for every 5 or something.
So I hope that
as
he
Darren
Nods,
the guy who's still in college.
I hope he doesn't do a reality TV show.
So you want him to do a,
that's a little
comedy?
Bit much.
I don't care if he does. I don't have any interest in it, but I don't, you know.
Soap opera.
I don't. It won't bother me if he does it. And it'd be like appointment viewing.
Hell yeah.
I would make 2 laws. I would ban 100 bullet magazine clips in reality TV shows. They're both equally dangerous to society.
All right.
All right.
Should we take a break here?
No, we don't have lunch
don't
yet.
Have anything, okay. No. Well, then maybe I'll get
Let's plow through until we get lunch.
Get into some emails.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's actually some people that know that we're on at 11.
I don't know if I mentioned, I put a roster projection on the blog if people want to rip that. The initial reaction seems to be Stallworth, who I have making it, will not make it, and Dennard, who I do not have making it, will make it.
At whose expense does Stallworth make it?
on this rough draft, Dennard.
No, I think you mean in the wide receiver.
The wide receiver. No,
I think all position.
Oh, they all make it.
I think
all
they
seven.
All make it.
Oh, really?
Seven people make it.
So they keep seven.
Yeah, I got a little rip of the Boston Globe. They were doing position breakdowns too, and wide receiver. I looked at theirs. They had zero long shots listed. You're going to tell me Jesse Holly is not a long shot to make this team? Mm-hmm. He's a long
Even
shot.
Even Jeremy Ebert. He was a seventh round
but
pick.
But even if you don't want, because he's a draft pick, but Jesse Holly is the longest of long shots.
Yeah.
He has no chance to make this team. Less than zero.
And they had him making it?
No, but they just listed him as competition or something. Oh. He's a long shot. They had Jamie Richard
even
as a long
Britt Davis.
Shot,
Britt
not
Davis.
Jesse Holly. They have Britt Davis making the team.
I know. And he might, but he's a long shot at this point.
And
he's
Deion
certainly
Branch
not a guarantee.
No, absolutely not.
If Deion Branch doesn't make the team, I don't think that's a good thing.
I could see that happening, though.
I think there's a chance he doesn't make it.
I could
not
see
for
it
Britt
happening.
Davis. I don't think Britt Davis makes it over him.
No,
the Britt Davis
one,
story
one less than the guys
is exceptionally misleading because he's this great unknown young receiver story. Except he's not that young.
Right.
He's been bouncing around for 4 years.
Like the Red Sox version of Pedro Cerriaco.
It'll be remarkable if he makes.
Does
it.
The fact that like now what's the average? Over the years, number of wide receivers Belichick has kept? Five, six?
Six. He has kept seven.
Six.
So do you
I
think
believe
six,
over the last
six
4 years,
average.
It's slightly over six.
Do you think
six.
That Belichick
Depending
would be willing to keep,
guys.
Like, for example,
yeah.
five because of Hernandez? Because of the way you can use Hernandez?
Well, it depends. Like Matthew Slater's a wide receiver.
Right.
Yeah, but he's
but
not.
But you have to
yeah.
count him in the group.
See, but I don't.
Well, but
I count
no,
him
don't.
As a special teams player.
Yeah.
And now if
like Larry Izzo. Yeah, you didn't count him as a linebacker. Oh, you counted,
but when right. I asked the question, how many on average does he keep? Does that?
It depends on how you
classify, how you
classify all
those
that,
guys.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'd have to go back and look to see, did we count? I'm sure that seven that year counted Slater as seven. Right. But I'm sure there's other times that.
Wasn't he listed
the
as
number,
a safety at
yes,
one point?
Yeah. Yes, earlier in his career. That's why I'm
so
saying.
So he might have been a DB one year and a wide receiver another.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be my typical evasive
and
Paul.
Let's remember, he started at safety last year a couple times.
Right.
So
there
he
are
probably
times,
does need to be in other.
There are times that he
like we have three
is listed as a
roster.
Wide receiver and times that he hasn't been listed as a wide
Spencer
receiver.
Spencer Larson could make the team as a fullback or a linebacker or a special teamer.
Right, and I think that maybe we'll do that this year with our roster okay. breakdown when we do it. Well, maybe okay. we'll make a special teams category and we'll put – three, four, five guys in that.
Josh Barrett was also – I have him on my roster because I kind of like Josh Barrett.
I like Josh Barrett. He's a big fan of the show.
I have him ahead of James Ahedebo.
Is
so.
The TV show.
Oh.
Not you.
Not you.
No. Speaking of TV.
I saw Matt Light yesterday, speaking of TV.
Oh, good talk.
Right here. What? Gillette Stadium. Not in this very studio, but in this very stadium as I was leaving on the elevator. Go ahead. Speaking of TV.
No, I was just going to say you don't need it as much, but last check, I was getting killed in the Comcast voting. I need some votes from our listeners.
Oh, you did find it.
Well, what is this? Finally. Explain it.
It's the Uno Sports Tonight Most Valuable Personality for their getting ready for their 5,000th show. So
Media Madness brackets.
Bracket. And Paul has Bob Ryan. He's actually doing quite well.
Really?
Competitive. And I have Sean McAdam, and I am not doing very well.
That so means I got the word out to more friends than you did?
Probably.
What website is this?
I got
this
a bad draw.
Look it up.
It's on the CSNN and you know your site, but the Uno Sports Tonight page of that site.
So this is the show that you guys do from time to time.
Yes.
We both did it last night, 6:30 and 10, all PFW, all the time.
Yes.
How did it go?
Very well.
Any arguments?
No.
Just information.
No, yeah. It's how
it's
can
camp.
You be,
it's this.
How can
it's
you be argumentative at the exciting
maybe
time?
Maybe Gary Tangway was on with you.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. He was.
There we go. We got the link up there.
Yeah, we got it up.
So go to CSN.
It's no longer a flaccid point.
So we need all
what
our
about that silo
our,
ventilation
all our listeners right. to go to CSNE.com.
Yes.
And
then
the
Uno page.
In the
Uno Sports Tonight.
Uno Sports Tonight.
Uno Sports Tonight. There's a big bracket with all their personalities, and it's like a Final Four type thing.
vote for Paul and Andy to see if they can advance in their brackets.
There's a little bar down at the bottom.
I don't even want to advance. I just want to be competitive.
My goal was to find a way to get into double digits. They do
it
percentages.
Tweet out a link.
So it's like 80-20, whatever. My only goal, I'm going against Bob Ryan, who, in case anybody around here doesn't know who Bob Ryan is, any of our listeners, he's without question the most respected columnist in Boston. He's been around for decades. He's also about to retire. He's going to cover the Olympics for the Boston Globe, and that will be his last official work, although he will still provide occasional columns for the Globe.
Maybe we'll give him a radio show.
He's a legend. It's like
he's great and terrible on the radio all at once because he has so much information that the sentences never stop.
But you know
the
what
stories never they blend together.
You know what
together.
I really like is how passionate he is.
I do too,
I mean,
and
he's
it's
been
great.
Around for 40 some odd years.
But you're listening
so
and you're
passionate.
Trying to like piece stuff together.
Bob is not just passionate about like talking. Have you ever seen him in the press box on Sunday reading the Sunday paper? He's passionate about how he turns the pages.
Yes, he is.
You know, do you think of me when you see him reading the paper? Like he has to have that big broadsheet spread out in front of him, and he's
I don't think of you.
It's not all about you, Paul.
You used to
was about Bob Ryan, actually.
I'm sorry, but you used to make fun of me a lot for being the dinosaur who had the paper.
You are.
I wasn't necessarily meaning that as a compliment.
Anyway, so go vote for Paul and Andy.
Twitter's having problems. I was trying to tweet the link out so people could see it, but I think Twitter might be having a issues.
Andy,
and by the way, I didn't tweet the link.
You didn't tweet the link?
By the way, you don't have to do a real login to vote. You can make up crap to get in.
You have to log in. Andy and I logged in to save ourselves.
I'm Bo Barrett.
We both made up names and email addresses. And
the
only time you're... would have to be verified as if you win a prize, which, you know, I'm not really interested in winning any prizes.
Be awkward.
I just didn't want to lose like 92-8. My goal was to hit double digits in percentages.
Yes.
And luckily, we're not going to be the worst because John Tomasi is in it and he's getting absolutely
When does voting close?
No idea.
I don't know, but I hope it's quick. If Andy says I made a rally.
You were competitive. You were at like 41 or 42.
42%?
It was right after you told all your circle jerk friends to vote.
I hope all our downloaders have time to vote.
Yes, I hope so too. We need those 250,000 votes.
Right.
I think we could actually win if we got all of the people to vote.
That's what I'm saying.
Because how many people actually vote in these kinds of
Well, there can't be that many because my little circle that you like to make fun of, there ain't that many of us.
Right.
So there can't be that many people voting.
My guess is there's more people listening to this show than watching that Uno.
What do you got over there?
So get over there and vote for us.
The,
help out PFW.
End date on that. When it
ends. But what's the update
it's
on the
percentages? It's going to be pretty quick because... Their show is
Tangway
like
bracket
13.
Has Andy in it, and the Felger bracket has me in it.
We got, let's see, Tangway 65-35 over Shaughnessy.
No, just scroll to us.
Go on here.
I'd love if we get
Andy's
all
getting
for
killed.
Felger.
77-23.
Yeah. Ooh, that hurts.
And then Paul, who are you up against, Paul?
The other bracket. I'm in the Felger bracket against Bob Ryan.
Oh, okay.
I feel like a directional hyphenated school that just got the 16
seed. Felger bracket. Let's go over there. And let's see.
How many monkeys does it take to read
this? Keep going. Paul is also getting killed, 75-25.
But 25% against Bob Ryan is respectable.
I got to tell you right now, my head is held
very
high.
He was doing much better last night.
My head is held high.
We're in the 40s.
I believe our listenership can get Paul the win, and I would love to see Paul go up against Felger. That would be fun.
Paul is also billed as the man with no pom-poms behind Patriots
football. And he's also got a photo from 17 years ago when he had hair.
The hair.
I'm not even sure it's him.
Easy over there, Junior.
All right. Everybody make sure you go to CSNNE.com and go to the Sports Uno and vote for Paul and Andy.
Uno Sports Tonight.
Right.
Well, but otherwise, very well done, Fred.
Sports Uno.
Sports.
Fred was very disappointed.
Go to Pizzeria Uno and vote for...
They don't
have
a Twitter handle for that show, huh? I asked them last night. They said they don't.
I don't think so. I think they have like a Sports New England or
something. Yeah, they
said to
put a hashtag Sports Tonight. So I did that for them.
Man.
Also, everything hashtag,
hashtag
Pat's Camp.
Hashtag Pat's Camp if you're on Twitter throughout camp.
Dan the Byman writes in at webradiopitchers.com. He says, I am disgusted after who I saw replace Three Wise. From the far, I thought Lindsay is back. The new girl, Jackie, looks very much like Petrucci. Why did the Patriots do this? Who made the hiring decision? Is it B-Low or Big Head?
Wasn't me.
Don't get me wrong.
Jackie.
She is cute and all.
Yes.
You really have to pick Three Wise replacement, though, literally. And aren't there any hot blonde Boston girls? Dan the Byman.
So the accent is already bothering people that she's from Atlanta?
I don't know.
Very young looking, too. Very young looking.
Yeah. That's all right. Nothing wrong with young.
No, Eric loves it.
All right, let's talk some football. Just saw Adai got released. I really want to see this guy contribute on the field for us. He didn't even get to camp. Are they desperate for tight ends? I don't get it. There are plenty of blocking tight ends out there. Why another receiving type? I thought Aaron was healthy. Anyway, can't wait to hear the first post-practice podcast, wide receivers, defensive end, and newbies. Super Bowl baby. Again, I think the Shenko
newbies?
Signing.
Newbies.
Newbies.
I think the Shenko
which
signing
is not a short for new
doesn't
boobies.
Have to do with anything other than they don't know about Fells.
Right. He was the best available option for a third. It's clear they want a third tight end. They're not going to go through the year with, you know, Dan Gronkowski here for a week and then off the – it was Dan, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Off the roster. Yeah. They want a third tight end. Shenko is a pretty good proven tight end. I think they saw value.
Right. Right.
And Fells is probably dead.
They prefer not, because remember, last year they didn't really have three. They'd have to use Solder as a whenever they wanted to have three on the field. And
they may do that
block.
Again in terms of the blocking. Some Matt Copa or, you know, whoever that
sure.
extra tackle is. Could
right.
You know, Cannon, somebody could serve that role.
Right.
Or my guess is one of the, like, Spencer Larsons, you yeah. know, in a pinch could do that.
I mean, let's just say they had a Vicencio Sanko, whatever his name is.
Vicencio Sanko!
Let's say
he's having such a good show, too.
Let's say last year he was on the roster, and the same thing happened in the Super Bowl where Gronkowski wasn't.
It's a great question.
Would he have helped?
Well,
would
I think
having
it's a,
him have helped?
Would he have played the bulk of the snaps?
Instead of Gronk?
Yeah. That's because somebody, an SPFW person said Gronk was terrible. Any healthy player would have been better than Gronk.
Right.
I don't agree with that.
Well, you know.
But a healthy Shenko may have been better than Gronk.
Right.
Yeah, provided that he was on the team all year.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I don't think there's really much of an
so,
argument to be made.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's. And Hernandez gets hurt every year.
Yeah.
Well, it's only been 2 years, but he has something every year, a knee, or he missed two or three games here or there. Now you have Shenko.
Right.
That has become the core of your offense, those two. You have a fill-in.
Right. Cole from Waterloo, I'm so
we're waiting for the release, Shenko.
Right. I'm so excited to get back to football. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about how training camp is going. Just wanted to know if you think that Tom Brady will be on a throw count during camp this year. I heard he had been in past training camps, but I wasn't sure if that was injury related or just because he's getting older.
Well, he's getting older.
I think it would have been a little bit of both.
He's always had arm issues, tendonitis, whatever it is.
Although last year was the first year he wasn't weakly listed as right shoulder probable.
Right. But he also...
Was he on a throw count last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is all the time. I don't know if it's like click, click,
right.
click,
yeah,
click.
But they,
it's
they,
just managing
yeah.
it.
And there are days that you'll see periodically that Brian Hoyer will get more reps than any average day. And that's yeah. a rep counting day.
Right.
And it helps.
And this
Hoyer,
year it might
still
work with the ones.
Well, yeah, and this year might be even more so because you have potentially the battle between Hoyer and Mallett for the number two job. So there might be times when Brady has to sit back a little bit because they want to try to get those two young guys to try to compete and battle.
Zach from Syracuse. Haven't heard from him in a while. It's been a long time since I've emailed in, but I haven't stopped listening.
Woo!
I've been unplugged for the past month. I was at an Army training exercise in Fort Lewis, Washington.
Thank you for your service.
And therefore was unable to keep up with all the Pats news. If you guys could give me a rundown of what I've missed over the past month, I'd really appreciate it.
what
are you laughing
yeah,
at, Paul?
I think, Zach, the best way to do that would be to go to Patriots.com and read
scroll
through
the
news
blog
archives and,
yes.
and read the blog archives. Because,
oh, speaking of the
yeah,
blog.
Yeah.
Patriots 2012 official yearbook is out, and I put a
yes.
picture of the cover on the blog.
It's a nice-looking cover.
Best cover
ever.
In a while.
It's a real good cover.
In a while.
I was so impressed with the cover that I asked our photographer, Dave Silverman, who took it, to frame it up for me like I have some of the past covers on my wall.
Yeah, it is. The last one that was this good, in my opinion, was the construction one, 2001.
With Bledsoe.
And you know, the excavator.
That
and
was
the
a
guys
really good one.
It.
That was a good one.
Yep.
One of the things I like most about it is that it's so the image is so effective that it doesn't need
right.
cover words.
Right.
And
we made that decision.
We did.
Who we talked into not putting cover words.
No,
but
he finally
no,
agreed,
I'm
going
to
defend you, Freddie, because I think as soon as we said it to you, you thought that that was the right way to go.
Right.
I don't think you needed to have
no.
yeah.
any arm twisting.
The best,
yeah. Yeah.
The best
yeah.
ones are the ones that don't need any explanation.
Right.
And this one doesn't.
You know, the timing is right because of the you know presidential
sure.
campaign that's going on this year. And it's a cool, cool cover.
The image works very
and
well.
And it's an exclusive cover. That's what I love about it. It's not like something you're going to see anywhere else.
Are we going to be able to make a poster out of it?
We'll be able to do what we T-shirts, want with it eventually.
Mugs,
you know, I'd like to get the
mouse
yearbook out in the newsstand first, give that some time to breathe, and then
You can get it today from Carol Hardy at the PFW tent here at Gillette Stadium.
That's true.
Assuming practice is open
to the public. And her cast of millions.
Yeah, she's got a whole posse.
Does she?
The Minions this year.
You know, a lot of people.
Really? Not just one
a
or
lot
two?
Of people, you know, get bring helmets and footballs, and they try to get as many players to sign it. If you could get this yearbook fully signed, that would be valuable.
People do that. I had a couple people tweet me that that's what they leave it in their car. I'm assuming they live in Foxborough or whatever, so that if they're ever they see something, you know, Stop and Shop,
right?
Something,
it's an autograph.
You got a picture,
what it is.
Right?
Because every player has their own page,
right? Right.
So it is an autograph.
Or
book.
If you could get the cover,
you get the cover autograph.
Cover autograph would
that's
be.
That's what we should get.
Yeah.
That would be a good charitable item.
Oh yeah,
PFW yearbook cover.
That would be big, big
autographed
big.
By all the participants.
Good thinking, Andy.
Thank you.
Why don't you send that an email to our, you know, community relations and say, hey, why don't
have ideas?
You know, give them that idea. They can facilitate that. That would be a good
creates
raffle
work.
Item.
I think it'd be tremendous
for the kickoff dinner, the charitable kickoff dinner.
Yes,
you know,
gala,
whatever it is. it's a dinner.
I know, but it's called the gala.
All right. Whatever.
It is somewhat of an important event here at the stadium every year.
The most important for the charitable foundation, I believe.
It's a big dinner.
It's a big dinner.
Get your rubber chicken here.
Nick's in Victoria.
Good for Nick.
And they're in
Victoria.
Canada.
Yeah. I'm going to assume. It's decent.
Do you see the addition of Shanko being similar to the past edition of Algie Crumpler? I guess what I'm asking is this. One, will Shanko be called upon to fill a leadership role with the tight ends? Or two, will he really be inserted into a full-time regular rotation player? Or three, is he here just as an insurance tight end?
I think I brought that up the other day about possibly being a Crumpler-type presence for the tight ends. But I think it remains to be seen whether or not he's able to fill the blocking-type role that Crumpler did, because Crumpler, as we talked about, had sort of already started before he got here. Making the transition from more of a pass catching tight end to a blocker, and I don't know yet if Shanko has those capabilities. We'll have to see.
What about leadership? I mean, Algie Crumpler came in as a stand up guy, real leader. I don't know about Shanko. Anybody hear about his locker room?
I haven't heard much about him in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, Algie Crumpler was like
he was
NFL
widely regarded.
Man of the Year type leader.
Yeah. Right.
Shanko does not have that reputation.
And that doesn't mean he's
that?
Not. I
and
just
he had
don't know.
A little incident, right? What
well,
happened?
He got caught on camera with
I remember
clothes
you.
On.
The little Shanko. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I don't think it was so little.
Probably has.
Wait, what?
I can't believe Fred hasn't seen it.
He was exposed on video in the background, I believe, in the locker room.
Oh, that's not his fault.
No. But I think that's his famous thing.
He wasn't doing a Brett Favre.
I don't think it was an intentional thing or anything like that. But
I mean,
he is not known as being
Fred's
a great
Google
locker room
later.
Presence.
You know my story about
yes, we do.
Okay.
No, I'm not sure. You didn't finish.
No. Back when we were first,
Darren does
back when we were first doing internet video,
I
was holding a camera in the locker room doing an interview with Drew Bledsoe, and I didn't know, but in the background the whole time, our starting center had been bent over. So
on purpose?
By who?
No. He was just
Chris Jenkins.
So later on that day, Bob Doyle, our editor, goes, "Fred, come on, look at this." You know, because I wanted to see my.
Was it a good interview?
It was a great interview, but the whole time. The center's giving us
a full moon.
Yeah, full moon.
Who was it, Wolaba?
No, it was the guy that got caught diddling the high school girl.
Oh, Jesus.
Out in Walpole.
What's
his name?
He was a defensive lineman.
No.
Danny Villa.
Danny Villa?
Oh, yeah.
He was a defensive.
You're right. He was a D lineman.
I'm also not sure. Well, he might have.
Yeah.
Did he overlap later?
I'm not sure.
Because if you're going to throw.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Moving on.
Because he came. He was here on two separate occasions.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was Bledsoe. It might have been somebody else that I was in.
Now it wasn't Bledsoe?
Oh, my God.
I know it was Danny Villa. I know that. I recognize that ass anyway.
Okay, let's move on.
My God.
And Nick also says, lastly, does the copy of Patriots Football Daily not get posted to the iPad edition anymore? I really like its layout, and I find that I open it up in iBooks and read it there versus flipping through the iPad post. No, every issue gets posted, so maybe the last one that just came out this week hasn't had time to be posted.
Should be there.
But if it hasn't, email us, and we'll get it up there.
It's not Chris's fault.
I believe it They all get posted, yes.
Freddie?
That's one of the features of the Patriots Football Daily iPad app is that you can open up full issues in PFD format and read them offline.
You'll be glad to know that there is a possibility that it was Danny Villa because he spent the majority of his career here in the late 80s, early 90s, but he did come back for however long in 1997.
Yeah, it was Villa, I know that.
So
yeah.
It could have been him.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Is it PFD format, by the way?
Is that just us, Patriots Football Daily?
What about it?
Is that what PFD means, or is that a JPEG or a PDF?
It could be the Pawtucket Fire Department.
No, we're asking you what you meant it to be.
PFD, Patriots Football Daily.
Oh, okay, well, that's what Andy and I were.
I didn't know if you misspoke and meant PDF.
No. PFD has a PDF of PFW.
And that comes out ASAP.
Right.
Yeah, PDQ.
And if anyone has no idea what we're talking about, we do have our official iPad app, Patriots Football Daily, which includes every issue of Patriots Football Weekly that you're subscribed to, as well as all the content from Patriots.com and game stuff, you know, that will coming up for game day. So it's a great app. If you are already a subscriber, you get it for free. All you need is an iPad. If you're not a if you're not a PFW subscriber already, you should
shame
be.
Shame on you.
Right. And if you don't feel like doing that, you can still get the iPad app, Patriots Football Daily, for I think it's $19.99. So,
but wait, there's more.
You know,
order before midnight tomorrow.
It's well worth it because you get every issue of PFW,
plus
all that,
processing and
all that, you know, exclusive content, plus all the audio, video, and news from Patriots.com and game day content, which is going to be really cool, too.
And if you sign up during the first week of training camp, we'll throw in a free set of steak knives.
Right.
And a Mark McGwire rookie card.
All right.
I like Ken Griffey Jr. better.
I don't like
today.
This.
He's doing a lot of stuff back there. And we know he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because that's just generally.
Juve says.
He's using a knife as a screwdriver. Bleeping monkey.
Juve says, great show as always. Has anybody put together the reason why Gino retired? Is it because of the smoking ban? No, that wouldn't
be
Gino.
That's
Gil is the smoker. Gino.
Interesting to see how that's going to be enforced.
Yeah. Gino, I think he's just had enough.
78,
right? 78 or close to that.
High 70s.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a lot of wear and tear.
And he's gotten older over the last couple of years, noticeably so. In terms of the traveling. And
I mean, you know, he's he's always been in good shape. He's
in
very fit.
Shape.
But I noticed, like, after the games, you know, he'd be sunk down in that chair.
Yeah.
On the bus.
There's no
and
shame.
It takes a lot out of you.
Long
you
know? Days.
It takes a lot out of us. Well, yeah. And
yeah.
I'm young.
Yeah. Long days, though, and, you know, especially, you know, in the preseason, long nights. You know,
yeah.
You're, like, they're all night games. You're traveling at strange hours. It's time. I'm glad for Gino. I'm glad he got to go out on his own terms.
Yep. James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, writes in. He says, if my logic serves me right, Taylor Price shows that Bill will take Deion Branch over any potential upside rookie wide receiver when it comes time to cut.
He'll take Chewbacca, though.
So does Taylor Price,
no.
You know, does he look at that and say, you know, I'd rather have a guy I know – you know, the guy I know more than a guy with upside.
Well, but if he feels like he knows Stallworth and Gaffney, I mean, how many people do you know? The cupboard is not bare at receiver.
And it's not between Branch and a young guy or Gaffney and a young guy. They're all veterans, most of which have experience with the Patriots system and with Brady.
Right.
Oldest position on the team, according to Darren Hartwell.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Based on average age.
James also says, anyone who appears on that horrible Around the Horn show can't beat you, Paul. I'm going to be voting all morning.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
Don't forget me.
So
we need votes.
And we need everybody
stuff the box.
I have a modest goal. I want to make sure I finish with at least 10%. That's a very modest goal.
The box.
I have no pretenses about being a legend.
And I have no pretenses about, you know, cheating to win.
It's true. I did not vote today, though. Did you vote today?
Can you vote every day?
I don't know.
And does it keep you, like, logged in? Because I'll never remember how I logged in, or I'll have to log in as a different person or something.
That's a good point.
All that stuff I made up.
Joel from Atlanta, but
Beau
actually
Barrett.
From Boston, says, I'm excited that football's back. Wanted to say I love you guys.
I love
Can't
you, too.
Can't wait until the preseason. I've been listening all off season, but this is my first email of the 2012 season. Below hot dogs and sausages.
Hot dogs and I thought Jackie was coming on today.
I think she's the new Patriots Today person.
Host.
Host.
she was going to.
I was going to say something offensive.
No, I thought we had a new innovative role.
I was searching for the word addition, and I couldn't find it. I just couldn't find the word addition.
Okay.
Anyway, she's supposed to stop in. What?
She's not going to anymore.
Why?
I guess they're too busy. She's going to come in on Tuesday.
Oh, now they make the schedule.
We'll let her know if she's wanted on Tuesday.
Right.
You can hear a little bit of her right here, though.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of
Jackie. Battle the Indiana Hoosiers? Hoosiers. Yeah. Okay, I've never, sorry. Hoosier.
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.
You've never heard of the Indiana Hoosiers?
I have
Hoosiers.
Not heard of the Indiana Hoosiers.
That's nothing to do with New England.
All right, so having a little trouble.
He's such an a-hole.
You really are. Like, what happened the last couple of weeks? You've always been like...
He's always been an a-hole. Don't give him any credit for being anything.
He's always been an oh-woe-is-me martyr. Well, all of a sudden, he's turned into a flaming a-hole in the last 2 weeks.
I just figured...
Danny Bias.
I think he's just come to the conclusion, I'm
going
to get crapped on all the time. I might as well crap on everybody else.
Ice-cold beverages.
Nah, it doesn't work as well.
Hot dogs and sausages.
He didn't say hot dogs and sausages the same
and
way.
And I f***ed that up.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know he swore.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I made sure to get the beep right on that one, Andy.
Yeah, you should, especially when it's one of us.
Hot dogs and sausages.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's enthusiasm in that one. By the way, he couldn't...
now it's hot dogs and sausages.
I put a little bit of his read for you and Paul. He was trying to go through that for this year's training camp. And after the drop, he just can't get through it.
We're in his head.
We're in his head.
That's where the I bleeped up came from, because he couldn't get past the hot dogs and sausages.
It was hot dogs, sausages.
Well, you can just edit that in there, can't you? And hand-scooped ice cream.
And hand-scooped ice cream.
Frozen lemonade.
As opposed to what?
That's
robot?
What I was thinking.
maybe coming out of a break.
He just vacillates back and forth.
Oh, I guess, you know, you could serve the ready-made stuff in a cup.
Or soft serve,
yeah,
I guess.
Okay.
This is hand-scooped.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But it struck me too the first time I hand scooped. Like,
I'm not sure that
foot
I would
scoop.
Right.
I'm not
Mouth
sure
scoop.
I would waste my time with the adjective of hand scooped
right.
there.
Yeah.
I mean, ice cream. We have ice cream.
Well, it's funny in the food and beverage
oh, wait a
world.
Minute. Hand scooped? Yeah, I'm going to get some.
In the food and beverage world, you can never say popcorn. You have to say hot buttered or freshly popped or something like that.
And whenever you have a list of things in any advertising, you have to say and more.
Right.
No matter what.
Even if there really isn't more.
If it was worth...
Well, if there's one more, you could get away with
it.
But if it was worth it, you'd list it.
If it was worth being included, it would be listed.
And much, much more!
All right. It seems that we've run out of...
topics.
No.
Andy,
really? Is training camp about to start in an hour and a half?
That phone call I just got was them apologizing for being late, and it still hasn't left the restaurant yet. So,
sons of bitches.
Good.
So one day we go to another restaurant, we go back to them, and they've screwed up already.
They blackballed us.
That's a good point,
and
though.
You know the order's not going to be right.
You know that they
Well, mine's never been wrong.
Where were
so
they
I'll
on Tuesday? Screw them. They'll get it when they get it. After we ordered for
not
them.
I'm sure that's a good idea for them.
After we ordered for them for every Tuesday and Thursday for the last
Because my Willow
years.
Tree chicken salad from Omega was very good.
My
if I had known that they had Willow Tree, I would have
You know what's funny
that.
Is
Omega's very good.
It had to be good because you really stopped whining about the cookies after a while.
Yeah, it was good.
So it must
it was
have
a
been
good
a really
change.
Good sandwich.
But well, I'd still like to have
They
dessert.
Must have dessert at Omega,
no.
right?
They don't have cookies.
Brownies in those little packages?
Oh, those suck.
Better
than nothing.
No, they aren't.
The Peggy Lawton brownies.
No, those cookies are made fresh in the oven every day.
Those crappy brownies and cookies are not, they don't taste good, and you're still getting like calories and fat, so it's like, what's the point?
I would agree with Andy, that's not real chocolate, but I would still eat them.
You'd eat anything. That's why you're fat.
Andy's upset because he doesn't get his juice either. From home.
Yeah, I like my juice.
The apple
my...
juice is big for him.
Usually when we go
you've
on
always, you've always liked
cup.
The juice. He likes cookies and apple juice as a snack.
So apple juice is silly now?
He doesn't find that
Why would I drink apple juice?
In a sippy cup?
I don't understand.
Keep drinking your soda.
Actually, I had water. And a nice bottle of water.
And it was good, right? You felt better afterwards?
It was fine
not so
it.
Bubbly, not
yeah.
so...
You see? Yeah.
You didn't get one of the...
Has you have
on
you
the
not
air
had
burps.
A soda today?
Has you?
Has you had a single cup of soda today?
Wow.
I was wondering how long I was going to
take
you
guys. Do you wait till afternoon, 12 o'clock somewhere, to drink your soda?
No, I have a...
Because you got 2 minutes.
Would you like me to bring you in a bottle?
Sure, that would be very thoughtful of you. Not at the expense of getting our lunch, though.
He wants you to give it to him in a can.
There's a little cockroach that keeps walking around the
Don't be afraid
studio
to step
here.
On it.
There's a cockroach in here?
Well, there's a
it's
bug.
Like a little,
it's a little
little
it's a,
beetle
it's a bug.
Thing.
Yeah.
A bug.
Why don't you step on it?
Yeah, now it's going to end up in your
it.
Bag.
Eric, why are you on top of your chair? It's just a bug.
Oh, Paul just committed murder.
I don't want to kill it, he says.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket.
We have no emails?
We do. I'm about to get to some.
Well, you've been like dragging your feet through them.
That's all right. Canadian Mike in Florida writes in, I'm glad Adai is gone. I never liked him.
Who's this?
It's people still have leftover residual hatred from his Colts.
No, he's just not that good. He was a Jag at LSU. He was a Jag in a great offense with the Colts, and he was going to be a Jag here.
And are we stockpiling tight ends because we finally will list Hernandez as a wide receiver?
No.
No. Again, I think the Shanko signing is because they're not sure of Fells.
W-R.
I have heard that the
no chance they list him as a wide receiver because they're not going to want to pay him as a wide receiver.
I agree.
So there's 0.0.
I have the roster.
I've heard that the physical conditioning test for new and or existing players is not that difficult. So are these guys really that out of shape when they try out for the team or when they report to camp? Or was I misled about the difficulty of this test? What does the test entail? Do you guys know the specifics? Hope to see you guys in Jacksonville this season. Love to buy you guys lunch when you get there.
Andy?
How hard is the
not that hard. I think it's about pressure. I mean, even Drew Brees, we were joking about it, tweeted yesterday, passed my conditioning run, you know, a couple 300-yard shuttles. Mm. The hardest part is the anxiety or something. And I said, this is a guy that's won a Super Bowl. He's been in the biggest game ever and can thread a needle down the field between a safety and a corner.
So throwing seam routes in overtime in the NFC Championship, anxiety.
No big deal. But running, you know, a 300-yard shuttle in front of a strength and conditioning coach and he gets all worked up. I mean, and, I think that's part of it.
I even remember Teddy Bruschi talking about running the conditioning test, after he left here and became an analyst. And he said he used to work out and time it so that he would just expend enough energy just to pass it. He wouldn't try to, you know, break records in the conditioning run. He would do just enough.
Why is that?
Because that's what you're supposed.
That's what you're supposed to do. You just want to.
You pace. Because if you go too quick, you won't finish.
Right.
And they give you the Harold Nash stands there one.
Yeah. They time you. They count
three.
You down.
So you know exactly what you're doing and what you have to do to cross that line. And their run is depending on position and size. You know, the fat guys to the small guys. But I believe it's 40, 50, 60-yard sprints. And you have a certain time you have to be under 5, 6, 7 seconds, whatever it is.
I believe that's exactly right, what you
and
just said.
And you have a certain amount of rest in between.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to do 10. Or, I think you have to do 10. So, like, the offensive lineman will have to do, like, 10 40s. And each of them in 6 seconds or less.
We do 8.
And then they have, I believe, 2 minutes to rest, and then they have to do 10 more.
Mm-hmm. But they're giving you the count, the one. So you know
there's 30
I just
seconds
need to finish under
each one.
The seconds. I don't need to run as fast as I can and have, you know, 3 seconds to spare. That
I
makes
remember
no sense.
In the old days when we'd have pictures of this, I'd see McGinnis and Slade, Chris Slade, way out in front of the pack. They would go they just had such an easy time with the conditioning test, it wasn't even funny.
And I think this is
you
pretty
get to watch
easy.
It?
I think the
a little bit.
The shuttle ones are much harder because of the starting and stopping that's involved. I think those are far harder, and the time is harder to judge. You have to finish it in under, 45 seconds. I'm just throwing a number out there. It's harder to pace yourself for that amount of time as opposed to 5 seconds. I'm here. I need, this is my pace to be under 5 seconds, 6 seconds. So at the end, the start, I heard Jermaine Wiggins, I think he said Parcells had a shuttle conditioning run. His was like 10-yard line,
20,
like a
suicide.
I think that's way harder, starting, stopping, change of direction, than just, a straight, strided out sprint through 40 yards.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because...
You ever try to run a 40 recently?
A 40? No.
I did it the other day.
I can't even
it's
see
pretty
40.
Hard when you haven't done any sprinting. Yeah. Like, I've run 5Ks, for years on and off in the summer, and it's...
Andy's kind of a big
an
deal.
An actual sprint... And Jackson goes, do that again. I go, no.
No.
Literally, I felt like I was running a 2,000-yard sprint.
I would pull a muscle in 2 seconds if I just
no question
all out sprint.
Because you're not even used to getting up on your toes and actually – because when you jog, you just kind of plod.
Right.
You
it's
jog.
The burst.
It has to be at least 10 years since I've last run as fast as
hurt.
I could.
Yeah, you'd get hurt.
I have not had a full-fledged sprint. I would pull both hamstrings. I know Fred's right. I would if I tried to run as fast as I could, I know I would pull a hamstring.
Now I can picture you walking into the office like waddling without bending.
Absolutely. Even like all the basketball that I play, very rarely are you running even like close to full speed.
No.
If there's like a fast break opportunity that I feel like I'm going to have to really get it. You guys got it.
Jay says that Rich Eisen tweeted out, you'd think the Patriots would need a third tight end in Shanko like Shanko needs a third leg. Wait,
oh,
what?
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
That is not appropriate from the NFL Network.
No.
Who wrote it?
Well, didn't
it? Rich Eisen.
Big dong.
Oh, Bill I didn't know that.
Didn't Bill Simmons write a whole thing?
You've never heard that expression.
Oh, Bill Simmons could do it, but Rich Eisen works for the NFL Network.
I thought what he meant is that he wasn't needed.
Greg Bedard can do it, but we can't.
Oh, I didn't get that. I thought it just meant like, you know.
Ever heard
like
a guy called like a tripod?
Yeah, oh, of course.
Well, that's what it's called.
No, but I thought that what he meant
third leg.
You know,
tripod.
The Patriots didn't
try from the Latin meaning three.
Okay,
he
didn't
was
know.
Making a joke that the Patriots don't need it and he doesn't.
Because of. I didn't think of the because of.
Go search the video. Go find the pictures in the video so you'll know what why he's a tripod.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think Florio had it in the item when we signed him. He had a link. You know how he always has the links to stuff like that? I think he had a YouTube link in there.
Oh, so Fred, just go look for that. That'd be easier than Google searching.
Okay.
So when he writes about Terry Bradshaw, does he include the link to Terry Bradshaw died?
To the obit?
He's just a relentless DB. You should go against Felger. That's the matchup. By the way, Andy, you guys didn't read Andy's description in that bracket.
Oh, no. Do you still have it up?
Yeah. What was it? Angry about everything?
A guest from TFW. He talks tough on all things football.
I don't think that's true.
No?
No.
You've gotten in more fights on that show than me and Fred
other
get in
people
on this
are
show.
Idiots.
Patrick says, would you classify Patrick Chung
other people are idiots.
As injury prone?
Yes.
I'm worried about the secondary still. If Arrington, Chung, and McCourty were injured, which four defensive backs would you start? Thank you, sir, for a wonderful show. And by the way, Paul Perillo and Aho Hart are up past 30% now.
Woo! Come on, 40!
Refresh that page there.
Let's go, people.
When's voting end?
I don't know.
Get them up there.
Know. It's got to be soon, though, because the whole thing is
32% for Andy. Now go to the Felger bracket.
CSNNE.com. Vote for Andy and Paul in the Uno Sports.
Paul is at 36.
Wow.
The power of PFW.
Power of PFW.
Power of PFW in progress.
Come on, people. Get that vote up. Vote again.
The Patrick Chung thing.
Vote early and often.
The first year he played all 16 games, but he didn't really play much on defense. The next year he was banged up a little bit, missed some time, and last year he missed a lot of time, missed about half the season. To say that makes him injury prone, kind of like Andy when you said Aaron Hernandez, well, you know he's going to get, well, I think that the style of play that Chung has and the body type, I think he's going to get hurt. I think he is going to be an injury prone player because he's not that big and he's a very physical player who likes to throw his body around. I think that lends itself to, you know, two or three missed games at least a year.
Right. The weird thing about
last year
is, I
don't mean that negatively. I think that's just the way he is.
Remember last year, we thought he was coming back like 3 weeks before, 4 weeks before.
That was a very strange
It ended up being a half a season when we thought it was going to be a month.
Yeah, that was a very strange.
I mean,
Andy, if you remember, he got hurt against the Giants here, the game that we lost, the Jake Ballard touchdown game.
Right.
Okay. The next week, we went to the Jets.
It was a game-time decision.
For the night, and he was a game-time decision. He did not play the rest of the regular season. He missed 8 weeks when the very first week after he got hurt, he was ostensibly a game-time decision. He was on the field going through workouts with Harold Nash.
Which is why Bill tells us he's not a doctor and you never really know.
So it was a strange thing there. I wonder if there was like a setback, or and then there was like 2 weeks later he's jumping around in the locker room in front of everybody. Everybody's
right.
Like, oh, he's coming
every
back.
Every week
this week
we kept saying, oh, he'll be
he's coming back this week.
And they would send somebody out to get his equipment to bring it out to practice for him, so we wouldn't see him getting or not getting his equipment. And it just the whole thing was strange.
Well, I mean that position, you know, if you play like he plays, you're gonna. I mean, even Polamalu, for example, he's been hurt a lot lately. You know, last few years.
Well, the more speed you have before those big hits and the smaller you are, you're going to get hurt. And a safety generally is coming from, you know, 10, 12 yards away when he's making contact and isn't all that big.
What do you think of his concussion statements?
Polamalu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
probably true.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt it's true, and I think it's sort of the general culture that the league is trying to
change.
He's
going to be one of those guys in 15 years that is going to have problems. Because he's one of the, he just doesn't, he's like me. I don't buy it.
Right.
You know, that's just a little concussion. That doesn't count. He's going to have some issues. Because I think he's being genuine. I think was telling the truth. I don't think he was exaggerating for effect.
You know what I thought was funny? Just total random aside here, concussion wise. I was watching a movie with Jackson, The Iron Giant, and it's old. It's from like 2000 or something. It's pretty old. And in the movie, there's a train accident and the guy's a witness. And they said, you're going to believe a guy who was just in a train accident and has a concussion? And like, we try to pretend concussions are this new issue, like this.
I've been around for a long time.
That was in a cartoon a decade ago. And so that's where the NFL gets in trouble.
Sure.
Because it's not quite as new as they try to make it out to be.
I remember a girl in elementary school, like third or fourth grade, fell off the swings.
Wow,
that hit her head. And she was out of school for like 2 weeks because we were told she got a concussion.
It's damn near 40 years ago.
Well, 30 plus.
Alex in Maryland said,
damn near 40 years ago. Yeah.
Great job keeping us entertained this summer. I know there is not a ton of Patriot stuff going on right now, but Fred's odd dreams, ruined movie plots, and arguing the distance between places nowhere near New England is a good substitute. Anyway, Hall of Fame game for you guys. When their respective careers are over, which of these players do you believe will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Not the amateur.
Ready?
Football.
Well, as opposed to the Patriots one, ass. Hat. Wes Welker, Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
No.
The Williams version of Wes Welker chimes in.
Yes.
Okay. Vince Wilfork.
Wait, you don't chime in?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to think he continues on his productive
100-catch streak.
May not be here, but he'll continue.
Vince Wilfork.
No.
I say yes.
Are you chiming in here, Heartless?
I say no.
Now, okay. You're just predicting he will or won't, not whether he should.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to make sure because you're
because none of them make it if it should.
Oh, if it was if
Fred, none of these guys are any good.
If Fred had a vote, believe me, the answer would be no.
Well,
for
that's
everybody.
Why I just wanted to
clarify. Brady would be the only one in if Fred had a vote.
Right.
Really?
But I'd have to go back and revamp the whole hall.
Last two Super Bowls.
Brian Waters.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to say no only because of my lack of depth of knowledge for the offensive lineman, but I think he's got a better case than the other two.
Andre Johnson.
No.
From the Texans.
No.
No.
Hall of Fame talent, but hasn't...
Yeah, hasn't done anything worthy. Injuries.
Injuries have hurt
him. Next one's easy. Asante Samuel?
No.
Yeah. No.
Even for the people who are objective and don't just hate him because he left the Patriots, it's easy.
I love Zahn. And when he put his arm around me, walking out of the locker room, he's owned me ever
inexplicably.
Since.
Inexplicably.
Absolutely.
Kevin Williams, Vikings defensive tackle.
No.
Jason Witten.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm just going with Bill Belichick said he's a Hall of Famer.
Did he?
Yeah.
Bill said it, I got to say
it. And he has ridiculous numbers.
I'll say yes.
Yeah, probably.
I'll say yes then.
Never had a good quarterback.
And I'm not going to be a fraud. I'm going to totally be swayed by Bill Belichick right there.
Rondé Barber.
I'm going to say yes.
No. I'm going to say yes too, but not easily.
No.
Because of his longevity, though?
Longevity and the stats. He's got the most sacks for any this and that.
Really, really good player for a long time.
He'll be like a fifth year of eligibility guy.
Eli Manning.
No.
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 Now, there's a lot of work to still be done there, but no.
And finally, Terrell Suggs.
No.
I think he's got a shot.
Yeah, he's done.
If he's never the same.
He's not going to get in on what he's done so far, and he's done.
Good list of names there.
Sure. Our listeners always come up with good comparisons, good names, good games.
Colin writes in, seems like a lot of people are convinced that this team will be light years better than last year. We're stacked, everyone is saying. Could go 19-0. Look at all these weapons.
Not if you listen to us.
Look at what we did on defense, finally. Frankly, I don't see it. Sure, we'll have a great offense. We've got more weapons with Lloyd, Gaffney, Stallworth. But really, how much better can the offense get? Production from the new guys, to some degree, is going to come from what Welker, Branch, Gronk, and Hernandez gave us last year. We'll still be a great offense, of course, but I don't think we can possibly be that much better. On defense, I don't see any reason to say we'll definitely be better. I'm honestly hopeful, but why should
Andy
we assume...
Andy at Gillette.
Signed Andy Hart.
Right. Why should we assume that last year's guys will be greatly improved? McCourty wasn't exactly trending up. Why should we assume that the rookies will contribute? They're rookies. If they contribute, it's a bonus, and everyone is saying Bill finally drafted his impact pass rusher. Really? Jones wasn't a dynamic pass rusher in college.
I really did write this.
Why do we assume that he will be in the pros? Same with Hightower. Were they talking about Beckett?
And to my mind, all the free agents they brought in are a bunch of Jags. Finene, Trevor Scott, Will Allen, Bobby Carpenter, Robert Gallery. None of these guys is Mario Williams or Richard Seymour, a guy who comes in and you say, I know the defense just got better. In fact, once the inevitable injuries crop up, we could be the same as last year. How about if Mayo gets hurt or Wilfork? Deep doo-doo, my friends. But I'm a Patriots fan, so I'm hopeful that some of these Jags will pan out. After all, wasn't Vrabel a Jag when he came here? And Rodney Harrison a washed-up Jag, so who knows? But then again, worst case is we'll be the same as last year, and that's only good enough to get to the Super Bowl. What a bunch of losers. Right, Fred?
Rodney Harrison wasn't exactly a Jag.
Vrabel was a Jag when he got here, but Rodney was thought to be washed up in some corners, but he was never thought to be a Jag.
No one knew he was going to play
right. But he wasn't a Jag. No, he was the guy who didn't go to the Pro Bowls and all pros because everybody hated him because he was a...
No one knew he was going to do what he did. Now, he played safety for a couple of years there at a very, very high level, but he wasn't a Jag.
Speaking of Jag safeties, did you read the blog entry on ESPN about Brandon Merriweather in Washington, and supposedly Shanahan called him and called Belichick and asked, you know, why'd you cut him? Is he done? Can he not play? And Bill said, no, he can still be competitive, but he was getting too big for his britches here and
can't
he
tackle,
to be knocked
and,
down a peg or whatever. I thought that was
I just threw that. Oh,
he didn't say can't tackle. This was somebody relating a story through a sword. It was like fifth person.
I missed that. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder how much that goes on. Coaches talking to each other, I mean. Not Brandon Merriweather.
Not Brandon Merriweather evaluations.
I think more than we think, too. Yeah. I think people that you think don't even like each other don't even talk.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming it's, you know, guys that, you know, we know that Shanahan and Belichick have a pretty good relationship.
But I think
if you're a head coach,
probably 30 of 32 coaches.
Right. If you're
I'm wondering, you know, if you're Bill... Like, do I want to, you know, like, how do you play that? Does that hurt me?
Well, I'm sure, like, it's less common in your division,
right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think either it's out of the question for a division coach. If you're a head coach, you have that, you know, that tag. I don't think you have any problem, even if you don't know the guy very well, just picking up the phone and saying, hey, you know, you might have had some history with this guy. Just, you know,
on a superficial
basis, not necessarily, you know, going in depth about what he can and can't do, but just
Bill talked about it with Jimmy Johnson, how when he was in Dallas they talked a lot. Cleveland,
right.
And Dallas.
When he went to Miami,
it wasn't as much because it's different.
Right.
So, I mean, the Washington Redskins, who picked second in the draft,
right?
They're not in your division. There's a good chance you're not even going to face them in the Super Bowl.
When Parcells
I find
was
that
here,
stuff interesting.
Yeah, when Parcells was here, he had a really good relationship with Ron Wolf at the Packers.
Yes.
So they would make a lot of trades.
Remember, we used
together.
To play Green Bay in the preseason every year. And everybody said that was why.
Yep.
Although Bill claims that they don't have anything to do with it.
Right.
So I don't really know.
Brad writes in, my coworkers keep giving me weird looks all day as I crack up listening to you in my cubicle. Keep up the good work.
Well, while you're in your cubicle, it means you have a computer. Go to CSNNE.com and vote for Andy and Paul.
Absolutely.
The media MVP race.
Keep us in the respectable 30.
Refresh that thing.
Keep us in the respectable 30.
Let's see if we can get that to 50%.
Both of us on the way up.
Yep.
Keep going,
PFW. The power of
PFW. Show the power. We can win.
CSNNE is going to catch on to this, and they're going to be like, you can't vote more than once on this thing.
If we win. Yeah. They'll rig it so
they'll
we don't
rig
win.
It so you
right.
Know.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to figure out what happened.
I mean, Bob Ryan is retiring and is from
but
the Globe, and Sean McAdam works for CSNNE.
But just so you know, they're not going to figure out what... We didn't do anything wrong. All we did was...
Right, we're campaigning.
Yes.
Yeah. No,
it's
I know.
It's not like we're stuffing the ballot box.
It's not like what Obama did to become president.
Right.
See how I see Fred just looking with the back and forth.
No, but we didn't do anything "quote unquote" wrong.
No, I didn't say you did. I'm just saying they're going to figure out if there's such a huge spike in one day for both of you guys. They're going to be like,
it's the power of PFW.
That's right.
My guess is
I'm not saying I wouldn't cheat if I could. By the way, either if I knew
well,
how
that's
to make
why
a
I want. I was
that
just going to ask James. He's got to be able to figure that out.
Probably
figure out a way to make sure that we win.
Or just bump off the competitors.
You know, hack their system.
And those
and
just all our live.
I mean, bump them off.
When the downloaders listen to us later today,
probably get sympathy.
That's really going to go up.
I don't know. Some of the overall listeners might say, Andy and Paul, no way I'm voting for them.
All of a sudden, our numbers go
the
other way.
If it was Fred, maybe. No. I'm not voting for them.
Tim in Pensacola couldn't vote for Sean McAdam fast enough.
With your luck, that'll be the guy who figures out how to stuff the ballot.
Let's see. The other day, toward the end of the show, we're talking about TV shows.
Josh says that Breaking Bad is an amazing show. Takes about 4 or 5 episodes to really ramp up, but then it is nonstop awesomeness, fantastic writing. Only one stupid episode in all the seasons thus far. That's pretty respectable. One of the best shows ever, but he says Mad Men is terrible.
Really?
What's Breaking Bad about?
It's about this guy.
It's a great premise.
He's terminally ill. He's got cancer.
He's an underachieving, like, chemistry teacher
right.
or something
and,
like
and
that in
gets,
high school.
He gets diagnosed with cancer, and his home life is terrible, and he just breaks bad. He just starts this crystal meth lab, and just making tons of money because he's really smart. He's a scientist. So I've only
but he uses his powers
to
for
be
bad.
Honest with you. I saw one episode. I saw the first episode, and yeah. It's like, wow, this is really good. And then I haven't seen one since.
Oh. It's a great premise.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen the show at all. Yeah. So, not once. Mad Men, he hated, huh?
He says, terrible show. I don't need to watch that, a show about a bunch of douches making terrible decisions to satisfy their overinflated egos. I can't stand shows like
Mad
that. I love chaos and drama,
oh,
but it's always better
it.
When it
never seen
heaped
it.
Upon the characters should. Like Lost. Breaking Bad is a little bit of the terrible decision syndrome, but it is not in an effort to satisfy egos. It is usually out of necessity. Two bad options available, and a choice must be made between them. That's
you can never have a typo in an email when you send it to Fred.
I don't know if there was an episode where he had to toe something. You know, I just don't know.
I just don't know.
What are you, leaving?
I was telling Paul about this earlier, Fred. There was a growing problem. History Channel had a documentary about the Godfather trilogy.
Yep.
The other day, which was excellent.
They had a documentary
about
the movie.
About the movie
40th,
saga.
It's
the 40th anniversary of the film.
Yep.
It was really good. I suggest you set your DVR
for
the
next time. I am definitely
going to
look
on.
For that. Paulie in L.A. Sent me an email asking what my favorite movies are, you know, because I always complain there's no good movies. Mm. And those are all my favorite movies. Godfather, Goodfellas.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Fidel's in Florida by way of Cuba. Hey, Fidel.
Hello.
How you doing?
He doesn't find his phone.
Good.
Good.
What do you got?
All right.
Are you going to talk or you just...
Yeah, what do you
time?
Got, Fidel?
Yeah, okay. I really liked what the Patriots did this offseason with signing all these bunch of guys and still releasing a couple of them.
I'm sorry, signing all these guys and still what?
Cutting them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They died a few days ago, and Anthony Gonzalez.
Right.
A month ago, right?
Yeah, they have done that, yeah. They've certainly created some competition at various spots on the depth chart and throughout the roster, and that's a good thing. Absolutely, I agree with you.
I loved what they did. And with Brandon Lloyd, the thing is, when we went 16-0 with Randy Moss, because we had an elite receiving corps, I mean, Deion Branch and Wes Welker are great, great wide receivers, but they didn't have that elite factor that Randy Moss did. So with signing Brandon Lloyd and Josh McDaniels here, we can actually do what Chad Ochocinco was unable
to do. He should help. There's no doubt about it. I don't know if he'll be like Randy Moss, but he doesn't have to be. He just has to be better than what they had. And, it should help.
And their defense all signed all 7 of those draft picks I love. I love Chandler Jones. I love Dante Hightower. Nate Ebner is one of my favorite picks from all of those guys.
What's your quick prediction for this season, record-wise? Fidel.
Do you have your mic on,
Turn
Fred?
Your mic on, Fred.
Quick prediction from Fidel for this season. What's the Patriots' record?
14-2, 13-3. I think they can repeat and go to the Super Bowl. They've just improved so much, I don't think they can.
Okay. Thanks, Fidel.
Good stuff, Fidel.
That's Fidel from Florida. So
that is definitely a little different than the email from a couple ago that didn't really see the improvements, especially on defense, and didn't think all the rookies
but,
were going
to
contribute.
But, you know, I have to admit, all those improvements are, you know, we'll see. You know, we don't know about Chandler Jones. We don't know about Hightower. We don't know how Brandon Lloyd's going to be. Although I think Brandon Lloyd, if you had to rank certainty, I think that's pretty certain that he's an upgrade over Ochocinco. There's no doubt about that.
I would say Lloyd first. I think Gregory is second. Because
stability.
The safety position was so
bad.
All
he has to do is be stable.
Right. I'm not looking for, you know, interceptions, force. Just be out there every week and play. And then maybe Fanene would be next in terms of kind of a known, although he's had his injury issues, so I'm not sure he's quite as known. But some of the others, I mean, all the rookies are rookies, as the emailer put it. And your guy, Trevor Scott, I mean, he had 7 tackles last year.
I know you say you're not expecting it from Gregory, but I would like to see somebody in that secondary making those kind of plays, though.
Sure.
Because if they don't, you just have last year's secondary, and we don't need that.
Well, McCourty could be better. Rossi Dowling's going to be out there. If Chung's out there, I mean, it could be all incrementally better across. As Fred says, if McCourty's better, everybody else is automatically better.
Well, and the other part of that, too, is even though they struggled so badly, they did make a lot of plays. It was kind of a strange thing. They were a very much a hit-or-miss defense. Now, they mostly missed because, obviously, they finished, what, 31st in pass defense, 31st and third down again, I think, or 32nd and third down defense, something like that. So they struggled badly, but they did make big plays, you know, to get off the field. I think they had 23 or 25 interceptions or something like that. They had a reasonable number of interceptions. They're obviously misleading. They struggled all year long. Maybe this year they don't make as many interceptions, or, you know, they don't cause as many turnovers and stuff like that, but you know, maybe they're able to knock down a third down pass or get pressure on the passer in a key play to stop a drive before it even starts.
Yeah.
And I think their interceptions were a little misleading.
I mean, I agree.
7 from Kyle Arrington, as Bill said, he kind of was in the right place and caught the ball. You know, you had 2 from your nose tackle. That's 9 right there. That's more than a third of your interceptions or whatever that are.
All right, 12:26, time for a break. Food's here. We'll be right back after that. A lot more of your emails coming up. We're here until 1, and then Bill Belichick live on Patriots.com.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve.
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad.
An exterminator.
Sleepaway camp.
Engaged.
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight.
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals?
Oh. Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new book. Vaz.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member of FDIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right. Back here in PFW in Progress. 508.
You couldn't have prepped slightly better for that, have the food like tucked away in a cheek.
I didn't know that there was another part to that story. I thought there was a little bit more there.
Okay.
Anyway, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We're here until 1 o'clock, and then Bill Belichick will be live on patriots.com with his opening press conference of training camp. So you won't want to miss that.
Before that, could be an awkward elevator ride for the staff of PFW up to the press box with Bill Belichick.
So if you're having trouble sleeping,
it's true. Oh, Eric. See, those are the shots that are uncalled for.
Eric's eating a banana, by the way. Brent.
And he didn't bite it.
Brent in
Swallowed
Illinois.
The whole damn thing.
Fred, do you have anything to do with the yearbook cover that was just released? Looks kind of silly, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's terrible. Was it your idea?
It was.
I like it.
I think it's good. I mean, if Brent thinks it's silly, it's his opinion.
Is this the Brent that wants to fight?
Yeah, he says, glad to hear LePan won't be on for a while. If he really starts late, we'll save on the lunch bills.
Is he the douche high school official?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your opinion doesn't really matter.
Wow.
Ooh, now he's going to want to fight Andy. This would be fun.
It's fun.
Anybody can think what they want. I didn't think there was anything silly about it. I mean, maybe he didn't like it, but whatever.
Billy writes in, Patriots are $10 million under the cap. Jaguars aren't going to give Maurice Jones-Drew a new contract. Do you see the Patriots possibly trying to trade for him?
Nope.
No, says Paul.
And Eric.
Paul's right. Eric's right.
He's not going anywhere, is he?
I'm eating a cookie.
No, he's not.
They're going to sign him, right?
Yes, they will. If for no other reason, that they have no other draw.
Sam in Chicago says, can you give some specifics as to where the vote for Paul and Andy is on CSN and Andy's website? What section is it under? It's under the Sports Uno. Right?
Uno Sports
Tonight.
Yes.
Uno Sports Tonight. See, if there's you keep saying it like that,
banner.
That's why they can't find
it. Uno Sports Tonight.
Then there's a banner that goes across, vote for media, whatever.
It's about halfway down the page. MVP banner.
Uno Sports Tonight, like Pizzeria Uno, as in Pizzeria Uno, because they're the sponsor.
Paul is at 43 now.
Wow.
Son of a bitch.
I love you guys.
This is amazing, the power of PFW.
This is where it screws me that everybody hates me.
Is that Andy's still at 39.
Oh, 39.
No, that's up. He was 36 last
time. He was 39. Paul is 39, so now you're up.
So you're up.
Come on, get the vote out.
We're rising proportionally.
Get the vote out. Also, Sam says.
The Maurice Jones-Drew thing, I'm not saying that he definitely will be back in Jacksonville. Maybe they reach an impasse they can't, but I just don't think there's any chance the Patriots acquire him. I think there's 0% chance of them putting big money into a veteran running back to add to this offense.
Right.
That's just my opinion. I think there's zero chance of that.
Two fumbles.
Sam also says, what's one of the position drills you are most looking forward to in training camp?
The fullback, linebacker, pass rush thing that
they
do.
That's a good one.
That's totally unfair.
Mano a mano. Now, they do one that's way across the field usually from us, which is the defensive line versus offensive line.
Yeah,
they won't do that today because they were not in pads. But that's a good one to watch as well.
That's one of the best. Yeah. That's why they do it far away.
Yeah. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, shall we? Everyone seems to be calling now. Maybe they just tuned in at noon. And
probably.
Yeah. Eric is in Houston. Hey, Eric.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Before I comment, I just want to say I'm glad Andy's back. Shows is not the same without you.
Why, I appreciate that, and go vote on CSNNE.com.
All right, well, I wanted to comment last week.
I don't think
you guys were talking about the Houston game late in the season maybe being one of the toughest games of the schedule.
Yes.
I think that the weather might play a big factor in that game. Because it hardly gets cold over here, and whenever it does, they act like 60 degrees is freezing. So I got a feeling that maybe it's a late December night game. It might be snowing, and they put their tail between their legs and kind of get frozen kind of thing.
We've seen that before. No better example than Kurt Warner and the Cardinals.
Yep.
Literally, I knew that they weren't going to show up because he's a punani. He has his little gloves on in domes, and he doesn't want to play outside, and they had no chance.
It's a good point. And
defensive lineman who was running around with his hands up his
I look at the way Houston sleeves. Plays, and I think that would travel very well and play very well in bad weather. But if they're not used to playing in any bad weather, and Eric is right, and they sort of act like 60 degrees is inclement weather, that could be a big problem for them. And I think that's a good point.
Yeah, and then when it gets cold, they practice inside the bubble. And like I said, cold down here is only like 61 degrees kind of thing. So I'm just hoping it bodes well for us.
Keep up
the great work, guys.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
For training camp.
Thanks, Eric. Okay. Love you, man.
I have to believe that applies for the Niners in the game. What is it, right before that? Because the Niners play in pretty good weather all the time, too. And to them, 50 degrees is pretty cold.
Although up there it can be... There's a lot of wind and precipitation, so
That's that kind of weather. But I mean, talking about like
it's not going to be
really cold,
right.
It's snowing,
12 degrees.
Now, the temperature might bother him, but the conditions won't. I agree with Fred, and I also think, not knowing how they are, maybe someone from San Francisco will see how they react on the road.
And
another team that would appear to me to be very well suited to play in bad weather and on the road.
But I think that both teams, Houston and San Francisco. They have a big emphasis on defense, and defense
travels.
Yeah, no,
that's
true.
What we're talking about.
It's not conditioned.
And they also both run the ball,
but it only travels if you're good.
If you want to play,
Eric said, if the defensive lineman, it's so cold, let's get the hell out of here.
That day that the Cardinals were there,
that was embarrassing.
Andy, Eric, and I were laughing, but this a good 20 minutes before the start of the game. That game, if that was the Houston Texans or the Niners with that great defense and the great dominating running game, they would have lost 47-7 just the way they did because those guys did not want any part of being on the field.
None.
In the snow. They didn't want any part of that game.
They even said it. They said they looked out and they saw snow and they were like, oh, they didn't want to get off the bus.
Right. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
It really is.
You're paid millions of dollars to play football, a physical man's game. Oh, it's snowing.
And it's not
like...
That doesn't happen in the NESCAC. We're ready to go.
Fred, you know what number he is?
What do you mean number? On his
jersey
shirt?
Number.
On his jersey?
Take a guess.
The worst,
one.
Most...
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a bad number. Yep.
Terrible.
Yeah, what are you, a kicker?
Can you change that next year?
Not changing it.
But Reebok won't let you change it?
Got the
nameplates in the pro shop already. So yeah.
Number one. I mean,
think of all the kids out there with the number one Hartwell shirts on.
Yep. Are you allowed to celebrate at all?
Oh, no.
Definitely like you'd get flagged?
Yeah, we
instantly.
Get penalties. Yeah. Yeah.
Is spiking a celebration?
I think spiking gets a penalty.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does. Yeah.
You can't spike in college football.
No.
That's not a NESCAC rule. You can't spike in college
that's
football.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Group celebrations okay though?
You can do some stuff, but just nothing.
Do you like the fun bunch?
Nothing choreographed, I don't think.
Is that what happened when you fumbled out the back of the end zone? You were thinking about how you were gonna celebrate?
Yeah, that was it.
Andy and I went game by game, Fred, yesterday through the 2011 Williams season.
Yeah,
it's a little disappointing.
The youngster had quite a year.
He's very good.
He had
50 catches for 800 yards.
13. No, he's got
how
some
many
numbers.
Touchdowns did we have? Seemed like he was
seven
scoring
seven last
seven.
Year.
Yeah, also had a 77-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Also had a 4-yard kickoff return.
Well, he claims a lot of big plays.
He's claiming a 4.240, so he should.
4.59, right. He said.
Did they run the red zone fade to you in the end zone?
Yeah, that's a favorite of mine.
Well, most of his touchdowns, though,
he had some long ones.
They were long. 50s. They were like 25 yards. It probably had at least 25 yards or more.
Nice.
Big play guy.
Yep.
He also made A. Marsky look pretty good.
A. Marsky.
quarterback.
Big shout out to A. Marsky.
A. Marsky, if you're listening, make sure you get the ball in the catch radius for my boy.
Well, we will be watching next year.
Yep.
What we'll have to do
this
is
year.
We'll, on the show, we'll give
next
updates
year, this
for
year.
The Williams College and,
there you go.
And how Darren did.
I will make appointment viewing to watch the Amherst-Williams games. It's always on NESN. I will be watching.
Biggest little game in America.
That's right.
Yep.
Hopefully the defense can step up. It's a lot like the Patriots. Their offense was good. The defense needs
got confidence in the defense this year.
Yeah.
For every touchdown,
is that your politically correct on air answer? I like it. Now he's thinking someone could be listening.
For every touchdown you score this year, we'll save you a cookie.
Wow.
I am not making that promise.
Yeah. That could be a lot
of
cookies.
A deal.
He's shooting for 1,000 yards receiving this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Says Andy.
He might get into a camp. His coach is going to try
be.
To get
well,
into
I asked
a
if
camp.
He was going to be invited to the combine.
Yeah. I don't know about the combine. But
Now, are you better in baseball or football?
Probably football, unfortunately.
You like baseball better?
Actually, no, I like football better.
You think there's more of a future in baseball, though?
See, Darren, you have the life that Paul Wishy had.
you ain't lying.
We all do, actually. I mean,
tall, skinny.
Right. Absolutely. Everything.
Athletic. The only problem is I don't like about your social life up there. It doesn't seem like you have much of one.
Yeah, well, the caller, the emailer recommended
some clubs.
Yeah,
right?
some night options for us.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I could check that out.
Maybe he should go to the disco.
You don't know
Fred.
About them already.
Fred, you know, he's going to a senior year.
Yeah. Leave him alone. He's an athlete. He's focused on his studies and his career.
Exactly.
Be like Gronk. You have more fun.
He just said he's going to be mad if Gronk does a TV show, but be like Gronk.
That's because he's on our team and he's a pro.
Do you see there's a Gronk ad in our yearbook for
77-yard punt return.
Yeah. I don't know. Something for some
stop
supplement.
For an inhaler
twice.
Yes,
I like him cashing in, though. I got no problem with that. Go for it.
Let's go to Keith in Central Florida on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Keith.
Hey, man. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. All right. I just kind of wanted to chime in there. Everybody seems to be talking about, like, the needs of the defense and so forth, you know, pass rushers and you know, secondary. And those, you know, like, are all legitimately needs, I agree. But, to me, the biggest need, and when I, you know, I still got a lot of the games DPR from last year, and I go and watch them. What I see the most is tacklers. We need tacklers. I remember back in 2004, Bobby Bowden asked someone, they was like, what is it about the New England scheme, and how are they so successful? He goes, he says, you know, the scheme is good, but to him, it was the tacklers. Everybody could tackle. He said everybody at every position could tackle. When I watch all the tapes, I mean, I see people, you know, key players missing tackles, Mayo missing tackles, Nikovich, you know, I mean, even Wilfork. I mean, you know, if you can't tackle, you can't stop nobody. It's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, and you got them at the 1 yard line. You wolf on a tackle. I mean, you're on the down for another 3 downs. So it's like, you know, pass rushers are good, secondary players are good, but I think. And I don't know if this is because we didn't have a camp last year and they weren't able to, you know, maybe work on the fundamentals. You know, that's football 101.
Well, I think what you're talking about, Keith,
is how to tackle.
What you're talking about is endemic throughout the whole league. I mean, the fundamentals of tackling are down. It's, you know, and it's not just the Patriots. But it's a problem with the Patriots, but not just with them. You see it all over the place with guys just missing tackles with their head down, not good form. You know, and
part
I don't
of
know
it's talent.
Yeah. See, I mean,
Sergio Brown was on the field missing tackles. James Ehedebo's on the field. They don't deserve to be on the field. They're backups, role players who are now being playing too much. Even Rob Ninkovich, in my opinion, is an extra player. He could be a really good extra player as a defensive end, whatever. But I'm not sure he's a starting caliber player on a good defense.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly. But when one player like Mayo wolfs on a tackle, and I'm not saying they're going to, you know, every player should make every tackle, but, you know, he missed some key ones and some key.
I don't think Mayo misses a lot of tackles.
He doesn't miss that many.
And
I mean, you've got to miss some. I mean,
yeah, no one, no one.
The other guy's trying too. You know,
they're trying to make you miss. I mean, that's football.
Sometimes they're successful.
And I don't want to get on Eric's side of the street with, because I agree with Eric. I think the fundamentals are lacking. But to me, it comes down to what Andy said. In 2004, you had quality players at all those spots. In 2011 and 2012, well, we'll find out in 12. But in 11, you didn't.
2012, they sucked.
No, I'm just saying they don't have. I mean, you know, Gerard. Let's take Gerard Mayo.
And the fundamentals are lacking very badly. I mean, it's just. But I mean, if they're in the NFL, shouldn't they know how to tackle? I mean, but
they should. See, this is. But this is my point. I don't think it's. How do you put it? It's not want. It's can't.
It's not want to.
I don't think that they don't know how to tackle.
Shouldn't a guy
they're
in the NBA
very
be able
good.
To make a free throw?
But that's part of the problem too. Fundamentals are often lost at the highest level of sport.
Yep.
You know, they it's just part of the game.
If
it's just
you
how
can
it works.
Get by in sheer athleticism, if you're Patrick Chung and you're so much faster than everybody in college, so you know you can line somebody up very easily. You know, you get by in college, then you get to the pro, and all of a sudden the game speeds up, and you know. Things that came easily in college don't come so easy in the pros, and now you have to go back to your fundamentals, and some guys don't.
Right. If he flies up in college and the angle's a little off, he rips an arm under the guy and takes him down.
Right.
If he does that in the NFL and
it's a missed tackle.
Adrian Peterson does it, he's 40 yards downfield, and he's left pounding the ground and doing push-ups.
And I'll give you, you know, I'll take the positive side of it. How many times have we seen Wes Welker squirt through an arm tackle, or, you know, dart through a couple of little spaces and make guys miss all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As he always says, I better get yards after the catch because I don't get downfield all that often. So the reason he does that is because Wes Welker is a better player than the guy trying to tackle him.
The only
Well, that happens a lot with the Patriots defenders. The guy they're trying to tackle a lot of times is better than they are.
But the only flaw with that is
sure,
Julian Edelman looked
on Barry Smith or Emmitt, and you know, in Wes Welker, those guys, if we break that. That's understandable. I don't expect a player to make every tackle. But when you're right there and in position, if you go back and watch the tape, like Mayo was right there. I mean, right square head on, against a tackle. Could have started, you know, could have been three, and I don't know. A guy, it was, I think.
Well, how many times did that happen?
I was going to say, are you fixating on one play? And I can appreciate that. I do stuff like that.
No,
because he makes an awful lot of tackles.
He's been living off Sergio Brown, poor McFadden play.
Trust me. I mean, you're allowing 5,000 yards because. You know, you have a total breakdown in a lot of areas.
But that's kind of what I think my point is.
The linebackers,
I don't think
everybody, there's people that are not doing their job, since Bill Belichick would say.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Keith.
That was a little one-way conversation there.
I felt it was like Eric's brother, you know, all about the tackling.
I think
you love that missed tackle talk.
I think
because it's accurate.
The bigger point is,
problems.
And I think we all agree, is, you know, the guys do need to get down to fundamentals a little bit more.
But what I was going to say, and he wouldn't stop talking.
stop talking!
Was, I don't think Julian Edelman is a very good defensive back, but he looked like a pretty good form tackler.
He did.
So
he did.
Looked better
right.
than anybody that they had.
That's
you're right. No,
I don't think
a great point.
I don't
great
think he's point. Ed Reed. I don't think it's a talent thing. He just wanted to. He decided I'm going to be a pretty good, and he's a special teamer, so it's not a totally foreign thing to him. They practice that open field tackling all the time. But he looked like a pretty good form tackler who made sure, I don't know if I can cover. I don't know if I can do X, Y, and
so
Z.
So I better at least be
but
able to take the
guy. If
I
get near that
down.
Guy, I'm going to wrap him up and take him down.
And in his
that
defense,
is a
too,
want to.
He may have also
and a could.
Come from programs where they stress that.
Well,
you know,
part,
before he got here,
right,
you know, maybe in high school or college, they well, made sure that they dedicated practice time
and
to that.
Part of it, part of it is going for the tackle instead of the hit.
Right.
You
well,
know,
it's also about the mentality going into a play. Julian Edelman probably was on the field as a defensive back last year, and first and foremost in his mind was, I'm not necessarily going to be breaking on any passes. I'm going to make sure I get the guy right around the hips.
Yeah,
right.
And if he's in front of me, I'm not letting him get past
If he
me.
Catches it, he ain't getting by me.
Whereas Sergio Brown is, I'm going to lay somebody out
or
take the ball off.
Or someone even more talented is thinking, I'm going to break on the ball. I'm going to make a play here.
Right.
Julian Edelman is saying,
don't screw up. Don't
he
screw
can
up.
Catch
don't
it, but I'm not going to screw up and let him get by me.
Right.
You know, and I'm not taking anything away from Julian Edelman, because I agree with Andy. He was a terrific form tackler. He made 3, 4, 5 different plays that you could probably point to the best form tackles that you saw
right.
all year. And if he can do it, I'm sure the other guys could do it too if they chose to go about that way. But I wonder how many times would they be getting first downs. And you say, well, yeah, you know, good form tackle there.
Right.
Move the chains.
Right. John and Lynn says, an editor whose wet dreams did a shoe one night had an abrupt change of view. He dreamt his Pats would know at last 19-0, then woke up in a bed full of goo.
Oh! I take it back, John, though. Those are pretty good.
Jeff is in New Jersey on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Hey.
I was wondering, you know, a few weeks back, I usually listen on podcasts, and so I don't always get to listen to things live, but you were talking about, you know, Europe and, you know, the possibility of, you know, expanding into different markets there, and got into a conversation about that. And I was wondering, why can't they sometimes do that in, you know, the United States, where they would go to cities that can't support a team the whole year and maybe just have a game there that was an away game for both of, you know, both of the teams.
It's kind of like how the NBA does.
One of the games that was out of your division.
You can hear us either.
NBA does that.
NBA does like preseason that way. Yeah.
I just think it's a money thing. You know, you said both teams would have an away game. Well, how would that be possible? You know, there's only 16 games in a schedule. 8 of them are home. 8 of them are away. So if you take one away, that's a lot of money coming out of local money coming out of a team's pocket. So it's
and they're already
it sounds
doing it,
good,
yeah.
You know, but it's hard to do because of the short season.
The ideal is to establish a community, a fan base, a tie, not to be, you know, this vagabond team that goes from city to city and makes a few. You're not a circus. You don't make everybody happy for 1 week and then
right.
They want a tie to a community where they know money's coming in. They're a part of the community. That's what you want. I mean, I guess in a bad city, you know. The Saints, if they couldn't go back to New Orleans, maybe they could have done it for a year or something.
Right.
And played half their games in Dallas and the other half just move, whatever.
Right.
Move
that
around.
Would have been an,
but in the
know.
End, you want a city that can support a team and you want the team there to support the city.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I totally understand that. That would be the ideal thing is to have, you know, your a supported team. But if, you know, you're a place that never could see a live game and you're never going to be able to support a team, maybe.
Where would
you know,
they play, though?
You would get excited.
Where, well, like in what stadiums in that area would they play in? Would they have a stadium big enough
like
to...
Like a college stadium.
College stadiums. Like, okay. Like this, Andy's example of the Saints. They played at LSU when the Superdome was unavailable.
Yeah, but LSU isn't hurting for football. They get plenty of football.
No, they're talking about pro.
That's
but,
true.
I know, but...
But like, all right, for example...
They feel that their game, their college
so
is
for,
like the pros.
So, for example, if they played a game in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you'd play at like Tulsa's football stadium,
sure.
The college.
Yeah, I would probably play it in Norman because I don't think Tulsa could handle it.
No, but I'm trying to just think of like an obscure place that still has a football complex that you could go to.
Yeah,
Williamstown,
Nebraska,
right? All 1,002 people.
All right, thanks for the
no,
call.
No, your parents didn't come to the program, so it was just 1,000.
It was just 1,000 even.
Jeff is called in from New Jersey. Thank you. Let's see. Brian in Essex says he's talking about the CSNNE voting.
Keep voting, by the way. Yep. We're moving on up.
He says, I voted for Paul because he deserves it. I voted for Andy because you guys asked me to.
Oh, I vote that you suck my...
That's why they hate you.
My question for you guys, do you
50,
think...
50-50.
50-50.
Oh, man.
Do you think we'll see another massive passing season this year for quarterbacks, or do you think the true off-season OTA training camps will help defenses get up to snuff from day one and bring the quarterback numbers down to earth? It's a good question because right off the bat, I mean, starting with that Thursday night game with Green Bay, there were big passing numbers being put up.
Oh, well, you also had Rodgers going against Breeze.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess that both of those guys are going to be knocking on the door 5,000 yards again.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, but you also had Brady versus Henny. Come on for 1,000 yards, didn't they?
That being said, do you think it's possible that with the addition of Lloyd, Brady, in not losing any of their offensive receivers, tight ends, Brady could reach 5,000 yards again?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I think that they'll be – if they don't, I think it would probably be more by design. They might run the ball a little bit more effectively than they did last year.
Use all these fullbacks we signed. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, and maybe they get leads and they're not in shootouts like they were last year. The defense improved a little bit. They're running the clock out a little bit more in the second half as opposed to continuing with the pedal to the metal.
Jesse from Michigan tells us that Paul has reached 50% now, and Andy is up to 46%.
Come on, Jesse. Vote for me.
And this is they're gonna crush it tonight when the podcasters come in.
The trouble now is we need to time this so we get over 50%
right
at the end.
Right. So they can't
jump off. We need a leg to the finish. Just kick it. Because otherwise, people will be like, that's ridiculous. And
some intern at Comcast is like, we got to do something about this.
Well, but that's the thing. If we can prove that, you know, they fudged it, that'll be good. You get on that show and you rip them a new one.
I think the better thing is if we could
continue. Tells Andy to do it.
Yeah, we could have these.
Because he will.
That was my whole point.
I think the better thing was if we could rig it the whole way along and end up with Perillo versus Hart in the final. They'll hate it. They'll absolutely hate it.
Right.
We'll not in, only. Much not, like we get the best ratings
not,
on the
exactly.
station.
Exactly. Not only do we beat you with the
beat all their, you know, beat McAdam, beat Curran, all their people, Hager, whoever works for them, and beat all the big name Globe people.
Right.
And I'll go to Art Mateau and I said, listen, Andy and I, we gave you a proposal.
Yeah.
You chose, you liked the proposal.
You went the other way.
You chose to ignore it.
My name is Zachary Vasquez, says the emailer. I want to know which running back will make a big role this season. Be like a cinnamon roll?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Poppy seed. I think he means who will have the biggest role as a running back for the Patriots this
Ridley.
Season? You think it's Ridley?
Yeah. I'm all in for the 2 second year guys. If I have to choose one,
I think the Patriots are too.
What do you mean by big role though?
Who will be the feature back? Will they have a factor back?
What are you, Merrill Hodge? Merrill If you're gonna ask me for a factor back, it might be Vereen. I think he's gonna make a lot of plays. Now he may not lead them in rushing or have the most carries, but when you combine everything he's gonna do, I think he could be a factor back, Merrill.
Where's your big tie with your collar?
I hate that. I really do.
Let's see. Nathan writes
in. Why don't you take Ken in North Carolina so we can go upstairs?
He
says,
you can yell at Eric.
Thank you for stepping up the programming last season with increased playbook, more Pete Shepard, and the postgame show by Adam Jones. Do you plan on having the same schedule?
Whoa.
What about the highest rating out of all of those shows?
Just hold on, will you? Do you plan on having the same schedule of podcasts this coming season? It's going to be a little different, but it's going to be very full.
Better. More.
Yeah.
More.
So, Pete Shepard's gone, but in his place, we've hooked up with a website called footballnation.com, which owns Cold Hard Football Facts. A lot of people, especially Patriots fans, have heard of them. Kerry Byrne. Cold Hard Football Facts will have its own show once a week, as well as Football Nation hosting a show on another day and then having a full-fledged fantasy football show called Fantasy Football Champs.
A little shot at B-Lo, a full-fledged fantasy
Well,
show.
B-Lo did it with Pete Shepard. It wasn't just B-Lo.
He did it by himself the year before.
And John Rook will be back.
So we'll have
Andy and I will be back with the most important show that you need.
The Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame
social. So we'll have a solid 6 hours of original programming. Then on game day, we'll have the Dunkin' Donuts pregame show with Andy and Paul and Adam Jones hosting it. And then after the game, we'll have Adam Jones hosting the Sun Life
post-game
show.
That's a lot.
We said full-fledged fantasy, but he couldn't say the Sun Life.
Yeah. Lastly, is there anything that can be done when the Patriots Monday falls on a Tuesday? There is nothing worse than missing a PFW on a Tuesday so the guys at EEI can talk about the Red Sox.
Is there any way we can do that now, or you can't have two streams
technically
going at the same time?
Technically, we could.
We've struggled to have one stream going.
No, they don't cross. The streams don't cross because they stream out to a whole different place than we do. Yeah, so it would mean either having two shows on our website at the same time or just doing our show on our website and not doing them.
Plus, following a Monday night game, do we
I think it might be tough for us. See, unlike
Ixnay on the O say.
No, but honestly, unlike the guys on radio, EEI or 98.5, that's what they do.
Right.
This is like our lunchtime.
Now,
we're doing other things.
As much as I would like it to be what I do,
right.
no one
has
agrees
asked at this point.
No one else agrees.
But keep voting.
We gotta get going.
Viraj writes in, will the Patriots trade Devin McCourty if he has another bad season?
Who's gonna trade for Devin McCourty if he has another bad
Jared
season?
Allen. I think you get Jared Allen for McCourty. He has another bad year.
Yeah. Brian from New Hampshire says, I love Sterling Moore. I see great potential. I cut out the 9 on a Maroney jersey and pinned it on my Curtis Martin jersey. Do you see the potential that I see in Sterling Moore?
29. Yeah.
Here's what I like about Sterling Moore. He made big plays in big games. And that's
Sterling Moore
there's
played.
There's something to be said about that.
He played very well when given the opportunity down the stretch. Yeah. He's put him on the list of those guys that I'm interested in seeing at training camp this year. We didn't see him in training camp last year.
Yep.
And that's when those kinds of guys that only play sparingly, you get a better read for them every day in practice because you see them going against guys on a regular basis.
And he was only a rookie. Can I just ask, how would you look at it differently if Lee Evans caught the ball?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But he got his hand in there and he made the play. Just like Troy Brown got his hand in there in San Diego and made that play. We say, well, that's because he's
much
a smart
different
football player. Why?
Oh, no, in terms of being smart,
yeah.
I give Sterling Moore all the credit. He desperately did something that was very smart.
Yeah.
But
it shouldn't have worked.
Getting your hand in when a guy has the ball and is running with it and ripping it out is forcing a fumble. That's not necessarily what happened with Lee Evans. And if that had happened the other way around, we lost a game because our guy didn't make that catch, we wouldn't be looking at the defensive back, nor should we have been.
All right.
And I like Sterling Moore. I think he was the best cornerback late in the year last year.
I am very intrigued.
And I
want to
see where that
Moore
goes. I don't know that it's going to keep going.
Do you know what I mean about
camp, though? But I just think the vision would be different if he catches that ball, Lee Evans.
We're going to get a chance to see him against Stallworth and Lloyd and maybe even inside, you know, with Welker and Branch, you know, 10, 20, 50 times during the course of the next 3 weeks.
Right.
I think you're going to get a better gauge of what the guy can do than what he did down the stretch the last couple of games.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. It's 1 o'clock, so we're headed up to see Bill Belichick do his opening training camp press conference. You can watch it live on Patriots.com, so just keep logged in and you're all set. You're with us at training camp. We will see you on Thursday at 11.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.